Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy Sunday. This is Seeds of Change, and I'm your host, Danielle St. John. I am trying something a little bit new this time. Well, I did it last time too, but now I've got a new computer where I'm doing a direct dial-in instead of my phone. So hopefully you guys can hear me okay. Elizabeth is with us, so I'm going to let her in.
Well, hey
there. Hello. Oh, good.
You sound like a professional airline receptionist from far, far away.
I sound like a professional something, that's for sure.
You sound good. I miss you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Yeah, it's going to be, despite the year, it's going to be a good year. We'll discuss it later, but it's going to get better. We're going to persevere through the evil that lurks through the world.
Yeah.
But,
absolutely.
Okay, here.
Hang on just
that.
One second. I'm gonna go and cover the heckle birds. They're starting to ramp up.
Oh, you know, it's almost like we're in the rainforest. I like it. We could be anywhere. We're on location. We're in Bali.
Exactly. All right.
Today we're from Bali. We're coming in from Bali, which will be good. Yeah, no, my neighbor killed my cat, or someone killed my cat. And
what?
Like, you know, they poisoned my cat. And I was like, that's
oh,
the
no.
most horrible. What a horrible
so
creature.
Sorry.
That would put poison out for an animal to get into. There's a lot of animals here. And it's like, yeah, and just when you think, oh, everything's nice and good, and you're like, wow, who would have done this? Yeah. So, but persevered. I was a good person. I helped this poor animal make it through to the next place he needs to be with love. And I just thought, you know, you're a horrible person. You're not even a person. So there's three of them. I have three suspects. Isn't that bad that there's that many of them? But there we are. There's your neighborhood. Who are the people in your neighborhood? They're assholes. And we need to rise above that. So that happened like 2 days ago. They kind of like and you know, if your family, something happens to your family, those little things put everything kind of in perspective as to what is important outside of your little realm of what you think is safe and happy and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, I'm like, did I finally pass a test? Universe, I did. I think I did. So,
that is horrible.
The damn cat. Now that poor thing that I miss, I'm like, he was everywhere, but he wouldn't come in the house. He'd never come in the kitchen where he could have lived safely and whatnot. But you know, he wanted to just be there, and he picked me of everybody, picked me for years and years to live here, to irritate me. And it was like, that's not my cat. He just apparently, yes, that is your cat. He's been, but I didn't tell him to come here, and I, you know, it's one of those relationships. But it was like, wow, he really, really loved me, and I was like, oh, I really loved him for a whole 12 hours, and, you know, just held him and made his little last hours very good, and it was. All I kept saying to him was, you poor thing, you did not deserve this. Because he's bad dogs. But, yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. And then, you know, there's just regular life and whatnot. And then, turn on the clown show, what they want us to be mesmerized by and whatnot. And then here we are trying to raise everyone's vibration into a new world. And it's like, we make the difference. Be the change. And I said, as I threw garbage on the ground, and then I'm like, don't be that person. I picked it up, walk across the parking lot, and I throw it. I go, be the change. It was at the gas station. And people are like, because it's like, everybody's depressed. Like, the three of us, there's three of us out there that smile and have fun when we're out in public. And it's like, I meet them, I go, I love you. The guy's dancing, you know, to his little music, and you make effort to talk to people. It's kind of like you got to change the environment you're in, and you can be that spark that changes things.
Mm-hmm.
And then And there's this, you know, little undercurrent of evil. That's all I can call it. It's evil. And then they gravitate towards, they're not even, I'm not even going to honor them with the term person or human. They're creatures that operate on that level. And I think staring them down and making them cower in their knowledge that what they did was wrong, whatever their crime may be, because there's so many, you know, killing someone's cats, kind of like really low on when you go up into what really, you know, harming someone's child, locking up an entire generation to die in a nursing home. There's levels of evil. Killing a cat is not on everyone's high radar echelon there. But
do you think they did it on purpose?
I don't think they targeted. I don't think they like tied him down and poisoned him, but I think they laid out the antifreeze or what, I don't know, whatever could kill a cat within 24 hours. Because it made him incompetent. I thought someone ran him over and threw him into the basement because he couldn't walk. I thought his leg, I go, oh my God, he broke his leg, but how did he get all the way down here and in this room? And he's laying in water and he's miserable crying. And I just picked him up and brought him upstairs to his chair on the porch, went to work. And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to take this cat to the vet because he's got a broken leg. And it's, you know, it could need a pin. So I found a vet who's going to work with me. And they were busy that day, but like, you know, the next day I go, you know, maybe he'll get better because he went from the chair to the floor and I had to pick him up, put him back in the chair. I'm like, what are you doing, crazy boy? And, you know, he's cleaning himself and whatnot, but he went downhill when I got home from work. And I'm like, someone put it in my head. They're like, well, maybe he got poisoned. Are you sure he's got a broken leg and whatnot? And then I talked to my neighbor actually after he died. And he saw him in the morning crawling on his front leg, dragging himself, and howling. And I was like, oh, poor baby. And then I'm like, I don't know how he got all the way downstairs. But it was horrible. I'm like, Jesus, I don't know. So I don't know how long a neurological reaction. How long does it hit your nervous system before, like, maybe you're, you know, like a polio-like symptom? But it went all the way down to, you know, kind of like half comatose, half breathing, kind of like a poor little thing. I was like, wow. And then at that point, I'm like, you know, it's just too much stress to even put the poor thing in a animal carrier to take him to the vet to get him his leg fixed. And I'm like, well, let's see, because that's going to be a lot of stress on him. And then it went to, I'm just going to let him, he's obviously going fast, so I'm just going to let him enjoy his time here. And I sit on the couch in the freezing cold, drinking wine and smoking cigars. This is just going to be my bronchitis. And I'm like, I stayed up all night, you know, with this poor animal, you know, telling him he was a good boy and waiting for him to pass. And it was horrible. But I felt like I did a good thing. I was able to perform a good deed, even though this was a horrible situation. And then it's like for all these callous motherfuckers who think no one can be in my yard, because I got two of them. They're right across the street from each other. One of them puts, you know, fucking mothballs and all kinds of shit and doesn't want anything in their yard. And the other one's just crazy, fucking asshole. He does the same thing. So who knows? I have no idea. And here's my guy. And he's not the only cat that goes around the neighborhood. There's other ones that do it, too. But it's like, shame on you. Shame on you for being that kind of a entity or creature.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. On Facebook, I've got a group that I'm a member of. It's called Point Loma Connections, because I live in the city of Point Loma. Do you have anything like that that's specific for your neighborhood that you can put stuff in, you know, like put that story up?
I decided against doing that because I could put both their profiles out there.
Not calling them out specifically, but saying, look, this is what happened, you know, like a general thing to your neighbors. Like, you know, be careful what you leave in your yards If you think maybe you're trying to lay out, you know, poison for raccoons or something like that, you know, and then tell the story about the cat. Because, you know, calling them out, they'll get defensive. But if people think that they're being watched, then maybe they'll think twice about doing stuff like that. But I don't know, just a suggestion.
I wonder if we'll do horrible people. It is. I generally stay out of those things because they are, it's full of idiots. You know, they'd all start arguing amongst themselves about how cats should be kept in their house and blah, you know, what a horrible person I was when I met that. You know, people are so stupid. I do stay away from that type of a thing. But I am in them so I could just keep abreast of how stupid my neighborhood is.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? But I am going to talk to the lady across that has the cool cats that do roam and go for a walk with her. But they're like, it's winter now, and I know her cats are not inside, outside. I haven't seen them, but I thought I'd give her a heads up as to keep her little guy safe.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
That's just so terrible.
The crazy 9/11 type of brainwashing that we're having right now with that football player. I'm like, oh my
God. I was going to ask you, should we start with that one? Because I've got the topics for today. We're not doing the good news report because mom's sick. Hope she feels better soon. And it's not COVID, by the way. That's another thing, too, is that virtually everybody else in her company has been vaccinated, right? And all of these people who are vaccinated are all on their, like, fifth or sixth bout of COVID. And my mom, hasn't. She had to get tested weekly and never. She's never, you know, gotten a positive test. So it's not COVID. But we've got the Hamlin story that we can talk about. I also have one about January 6th, and then what was the other one that I have? I've got a little bit about the Twitter files. Adam Schiff contacting Twitter and saying, censor these people, which is a huge legal no-no. It's so unconstitutional. You know, I mean, people say all day that Twitter's a private company and they could just do, you know, censor whoever they want.
Right.
Yeah, okay. They weren't a private company. But even if they were, yes, they could do that. However, the government of the United States and government officials absolutely are not allowed to do that. So do you want to start with Hamlin?
Anywhere you want to go. But wouldn't it be kind of just poetic justice for this arrogance? Child molesting piece of shit who still thinks he's relevant to go down to something incredibly illegal and yet not really worthy, but he goes down to something like this. And to just be so blatantly corrupt, almost like the Al Capone. We went down for the dirty taxes that he decided he didn't need not do. Not all the murders and whatnot. But yeah, that's something else. That would be nice. Because every time I hear his name, Adam Schiff, all I can think of is, you know, the story of Anthony Bourdain, you know, wondering what the hell's going on in his hotel, and opens the door and sees Adam Schiff freaking out over that little boy in his room, and whoops, the door is in. Anthony Bourdain killed himself in France about a couple weeks afterwards. And nobody wants to ever talk about that again. No? Once upon a time. That's a story I heard. So, yeah, whatever order you want to go in, either one. I'm kind of on that Hamlin thing because it has changed and morphed so fast. I have a friend who's obsessed with it. And it's gone from the, oh, my God, and I finally got that clip of the live tackle and the wobble, the fall. And then the ambulance. And nobody actually rushes the field. It was almost like a really, a well done stage kumbaya moment. If I ever fell down playing football, I want the ambulance there right away and take me away like I was Anne Hesh. Away I go to the hospital. Not doing all of this. And the more I looked at it, and then I heard the stories change from the actual doctors on the WBBM News Radio, brought to you by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Here
comes
God.
The story about the I shit you not. And I was like, of course. And then let me listen to the lies. But they were actually having surgeons, neurosurgeons, saying how mystified they were because this didn't add up. Because and still not saying why he wasn't breathing on his own, why his lungs are the issue if he might have had a freak attack, heart attack from being hit, which is what all these armchair quarterbacks were talking about immediately, like they all know these things. And
yeah,
like,
the code something.
No. I think they were all vaccinated. They were all fully vaccinated. They couldn't play without their shot. And he himself had just got a booster shot on Christmas.
Yes.
And so he's and this is not the first athlete to fall down and go boom. And, you know, he didn't die per se. But the way that they covered up the fact that he wasn't responding to CPR for 10 minutes, and I'm like, why would he be laying on the field for 10 minutes when you have an ambulance and you have a stretcher and you have a team of EMTs and they know that the longer he's away from what machines he needs, the more he might not make it, but they need to convince his mom, to find his mom, and do a team prayer and stop the game. And it was like, oh, this is odd. This is very, very odd. And then for it to all be kind of the damage control was already happening while he was still laying on the field from these armchair quarterback doctors on Facebook.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is interesting. But then from being in the ICU to all of a sudden, you know, he's writing, he's awake and writing. Why can't he talk? Why is he writing notes that who won the game, which is like such bullshit? I was like, what the fuck is this? And now I got a Instagram picture of him and his mom and his dad, and he's got the oxygen tubes in his nose, but you can't really see anything else if he's got a trach tube because his little hands are in front of his face like a little heart. His fist is like a little heart. I'm like, oh, this is just so cute. And here's the one thing that I really, really am, like, wondering about is where is the cry for justice, answers, money, lawyers, guns, and money from any of the family members? They're so polite. I am quite sure that they've been bought off by Big Pharma, the NFL, to be quiet. And, you know, what was the price tag? Oh, I don't remember, $110 million? Here you go, baby. And it's just, this is such a bullshit propagandized story in my
Well, okay, let me answer at least some of your questions.
Okay.
The lung thing, okay, so I was taught by one of my best friends in the whole world, Dr. Saleh Siddiqui, who is a cardiologist and she got her PhD in cardiology stem cell research. Who taught me basic cardiology stuff so the heart, the lungs, and the stomach are all actually combined in a very integral way. So when the lungs don't work, when the heart doesn't work, the lungs don't work, and, you know, possibly the stomach doesn't work. But the heart and the lungs are very, very closely connected. So makes sense to me why there was lung involvement. As far as moving him off the field, that one is a little bit weird. I would assume that they would, you know, continue doing CPR on the way to the hospital, although there are, defibrillators everywhere, right? So that one's a little bit strange to me. Not talking, he probably still had a breathing or had a tube down his throat, right? So he couldn't talk. You know, I know a lot of people are saying that, you know, it's a hoax, and I'm like, I don't know about that, but, you know, that it was a hoax, that it was all just a show, you know, I don't know about that one.
You know, I don't want to be that jaded, but almost when I'm watching what is happening, I'm like, oh, this was all kind of like theater-like, because if he was here, with all the hospital protocols right now, if he's in ICU and has been in ICU, but it is improving, I don't think it's, you know, this was like a stage photo op for his Instagram. He's watching the game with his parents in the hospital. I'm like, but he's in ICU, right? Isn't he in critical condition?
They blocked out
any more stories from these doctors. They're not hearing anything. We're hearing from the NFL. And we're hearing that we're hearing that the prayers, Facebook prayers worked for him. And it's just And it's like, instead of the, not once has anybody asked the question, is he's not the first person on earth to fall out in the game. Soccer players, are 600 soccer players all over the world that have been televised falling down and dying during a game. This is not the first. There are high school kids dropping dead playing sports.
Yeah.
The big question is not being asked. So it's almost as if they want to do this kumbaya kind of rallying the nation together in prayer to normalize and embrace this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is the height of trauma-based brainwashing, right? Is that what they call it? Yes. Mind control program with this.
Gaslighting, brainwashing,
yeah. That's a way to do it on Monday Night Football, for God's sake. And then look at the way he – look at the hit. Look at the tackle. And look at the – it was like, why did he – how did this actually happen? Because he looked fine getting up. And then it was kind of like a fake fall. I don't know. I might be on that side of very cynical people. But I see this as the way that they're customizing this. This is promotion. This is almost a promotional event, and I'm like, we're not that well trained. Even at a sporting event, just watch it. It's like so. As a country, we're not that well. Do you see people go to McDonald's and go eat shit at the McDonald's? No one came out of the stands. It was like, I don't know. It was too weird. Weird for me. I'm not buying it. I want to hear more of real doctors. I want to hear from these doctors who are questioning how this doesn't make sense to them.
Right. The one thing that really bothers me is that we're not allowed. We can say everything from sarcasm to climate change to weed to showers being too hot, gardening, stretching too much. All of these things are all, you know, reasons why heart attacks are on the rise, right? But we can't say that it could have been the vaccine. We can't ask that question. I really, really hate that we can't ask that question. So to that, I do have a clip here from Tucker Carlson. I wish I had the longer one because he goes into a little bit more detail,
they're censoring him. It's hard to find his stuff. You tell me about it, and I'm like, okay, I go, and it's like they hide it. You get only what they want you to see, which is strange.
Yeah. Okay. So, but this is actually, you know, when you talk, you want to hear real doctors talking about it. This is Tucker interviewing Dr. Peter McCullough, who is the most published cardiologist, gosh, either in the world or in the country. I want to say at least in the country, talking about this very subject. So if you're ready, Vigil is the quick one, though, so.
Roll tape.
Okay, all right, 3, 2, 1.
Just 22. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. So this is one of those phenomena that people who use social media are aware of because there are videos of it floating around, but I don't know when the last time I heard, if ever, an American public health authority address this directly and tell people, what is this? Is this real? Tell us your findings from your actual study on this.
The concern here is that athletes at a professional level, Tucker, are carefully screened for underlying heart disease. The leading cause of sudden death on the playing field is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. The athletes are screened for this. There are rare conditions, genetic abnormalities in heart rhythm that can present. But sudden cardiac death should be a very unusual phenomenon. And as your report indicates, it's extremely unusual in the NFL since the high level of scrutiny. There's a differential diagnosis that doctors go through when this happens. I watched it live, and then I watched the replay as a cardiologist. To me, it looked like he made a hard tackle. There was head and neck impact, but he got up, he clapped his hands, and then he fell over backwards. It looked like a primary cardiac arrest. Everything that was done on the field looked perfect. I think the duration of CPR resuscitation is going to be in the window where he can have neurologic recovery. The issue is what caused it, and the concern based on our research is that COVID-19 can cause myocarditis or heart damage. The heart damage in some cases can be asymptomatic, and the initial presentation can be a cardiac arrest. There's other things in the differential, genetic abnormalities of heart rhythm disturbance, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, a spinal cord type of interaction with the heart, but I think the leading concern here is vaccine-induced myocarditis, if indeed he's taken the vaccine. And boy, the family, the Bills doctors, and the current doctors at University of Cincinnati Medical Center have a public health obligation to tell us if he's taken the vaccine.
I think that's fair in the coming days. Now, the CDC, it seems to me, since the absolute numbers of heart incidents among young people are dramatically up across the West, and the CDC, as far as I know, has not been honest enough to address this. They sent out a tweet the other day saying, you know, you may be struggling with blood clots if you're a young athlete. I don't remember athletes struggling with young blood clots. It seems to me like they're trying to tell us this is normal. Is it normal for young athletes to have life-threatening blood clots?
We should never have our agencies try to normalize side effects. The FDA says the vaccines cause myocarditis and heart damage. Autopsy studies show it can be and is fatal. The same is true for blood clots and neurologic damage. Our agencies should be protecting the health of Americans, and safety is job one. I'm disappointed that they're minimizing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think honesty is a prerequisite for trust. When people are honest, you can trust them. But when they lie to you consistently, you can't. So we appreciate your coming on tonight. Dr. Peter McCullough, thank you.
So the one voice of reason, you know, in all of this, it just happens to be, you know, a very, very highly published cardiologist. So that's good. At least there's that. But yeah. I think the worst part about it is the reaction to Tucker actually asking questions, you know, and exploring what else could be causing this, or what could be anything that could be causing this. There should be nothing that is off limits. You know, no questions should be off limits when it comes to getting to the bottom of this stuff. You know, like you said earlier, we've been watching athletes, you know, drop dead for, you know, since the shot was, you know, regularly available. If you don't mind, I'd love to go. Your comments real quick, and then let's get into this other one.
That other person, they're CNN rebutting this. But as I listened to this, because I didn't listen to it, I just found it and sent it to you, that they could take the first part of that interview and just soundbite it, and that would be the story, is that it was caused by COVID-19. I was like, what? But then later on, he did clarify that the vaccine induced heart attack. And I was like, oh, my God, you're probably never going to hear the rest of that interview. You're only going to hear that because they are so guarded about the side effects. And that's the
Absolutely.
Whole deal to the story now is, I even saw a post talking about the wanting to make this a race thing, because black athletes are now more susceptible to injuries. Something needs to be done about this. They want to go old. No, seriously, they want to take this in a whole other direction. And I'm like, where are the real doctors? So I'm so glad that he got him. So I'm interested to hear the rebuttal from the CNN. So yeah,
it's really awful. Brace yourself, okay?
I can only imagine. All right.
Okay.
This is not
okay. Here
case,
we go,
guys.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Kevin McCarthy's continued attempt to become Speaker of the House.
Wrong one. Oh, shoot. Okay. That was the January 6th one. I labeled it wrong. I'm going to download this for a second.
Okay.
My bad.
We'll get some little, I'll make a musical score to go with our waiting time.
Okay, hold on.
Feel better.
I know, I need like the Jeopardy theme music over here.
Those were the days, my friend, which I will never end. Oh, my God.
Let's see.
You know, it's so funny that even football has changed so much. It's not even relevant anymore. As I'm watching this happen, I'm thinking, why are they making such a big deal about this? Get him off the field. Get his medical attention that he needs. He's out, just as if he broke his knee, you know?
Right.
Off he goes. And then it was almost like, we're never going to replay it, or we can't do that game again. And I'm
right.
Like, what about the hardcore guys that bet on these games? How does this affect? It's like,
aren't we coming up to the playoffs? I mean, I used to follow football really closely.
No.
I don't anymore. But, like, aren't these games, like, super important for, you know what I mean?
Think,
like, everybody's just like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm ready with this one. I downloaded
okay,
it, so. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
So, Sanjay, look, I've asked this question before about Tucker Carlson. Does he want his viewers to live? Last night, he went on TV, and, you know, he flowered it up with, oh, I'm just asking questions. But if you watched it, you were left with the impression that this guy with no medical degree was suggesting that vaccines are killing thousands of people. Now, I don't know why he did it. Again, maybe it's just to get attention, but I think we need scientists, who we could have had on to talk about it. Doctors like you, please set the record straight.
It's so reckless, John. It's so dangerous what he's doing, and I'm glad you didn't actually show the clip, because I think that's the wrong thing to do. I can't tell with him whether he's just so smart or so dumb. I'm just not sure at this point, but it is very reckless and dangerous. What he's talking about is this system that is an open label system where anybody can basically report an adverse event from the vaccine. Anybody can do that. And what he's done is basically has looked at these open system adverse reporting systems and said, hey, look, this suggests that 30 people a day are dying of the vaccine. Absolutely, absolutely not true. First of all, let me just show you the graphic of the impact overall of these vaccines. We know that a certain number of people die every day for all sorts of different reasons. We also know, if you take a look there at that right curve, that the after the vaccination program started, death rates plummeted among the elderly. We know the impact of that. This is the same reporting system that basically found a 1 in a million likelihood of someone having an adverse event from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. That's how they initially found that. These reports came in, CDC evaluates it, and they say, whoa, something going on here. Let's pause Johnson & Johnson. What Tucker Carlson is saying is that, you know, dozens of people are dying every day, and the CDC and FDA are turning a blind eye to it. It's absolutely 100% false. The problem is that it continues to stir up this vaccine hesitance or outright vaccine reluctance. It is so frustrating because, you know, we've been stutter-starting our way through reporting on this pandemic for a year, because instead of continuing to build the knowledge tree, we've had to continuously fact-check and correct misinformation. It's been so frustrating as a scientific reporter, and it's still happening. In the midst of what is arguably one of the greatest scientific achievements that we've had, maybe ever, these vaccines, we are still stutter-stopping our way through you know, what is happening here? We could be in much better position if it were not for people like Tucker Carlson who continue to embolden this vaccine hesitance. It's really, you know, it's really very irritating. COVID, a disease that didn't exist 2 years ago, was the second or third leading cause of death in the United States. We have a chance to dramatically change that around. I have relatives in India who are sick. I have a relative who died for want of vaccines in other parts of the world. People are on their hands and knees begging for these vaccines, and here we are throwing shade at it in order to embolden this vaccine hesitance. So look at the science, look at the numbers, understand what that reporting system is, a reporting system that caught literally a one in a million problem. It's not turning a blind eye to 30 deaths a day, which is what Tucker Carlson seemed to be suggesting.
I want to ask you about relaxing vaccine patent rules. And as you just mentioned, you have family in India. You have lost family in India. You know the effects of doing this so that other countries can make their own generic versions of the vaccine instead of just being shipped doses. The president is now talking about this idea, endorsing this idea. The medical director of BioNTech just told us here on New Day that they will not increase available doses because they will not, through this, be able to increase available doses in the next 12 months. Is that what you understand?
I think the rate-limiting step that Aslan Tureci and others have talked about is this idea that what is really problematic here is, do we have enough of the ingredients to actually make some of these vaccines? I mean, opening up the patent protection so that people have access to that intellectual property could be helpful. But I think when you play it out, and I've talked to several people about this in the vaccine manufacturing world, does it translate tangibly to more vaccines for people? So two issues. One is that's not clear. You need to have the stuff, if you will, to make the vaccines. But two is, and I think this is a really important point, is that, you know, if you look at India right now, and I think we can show how much of the first world has been vaccinated versus the third world. I mean, it's not even close in terms of access of vaccines. But the reality is what is happening there is more of an acute crisis in terms of actually needing to stop viral transmission, need to stop it in the sense that, look, over 81% versus 0.3%. It's a number people should stick in the back of their minds in terms of the equity of the vaccine rollout. But right now what needs to happen in India is stopping the transmission of the virus, which is why there's the stay-at-home orders right now. They need things like oxygen, hospital beds. The patient is coding, essentially. Vaccines are helpful, no question, as we just talked about. But in the short term, these other things are probably going to be more important.
Yeah, it's so acute right now, as you point out. Sanjay, thank you so much for answering our questions. No, John, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I'm sorry, I wanted to thank Sanjay, but also just say how heartbreaking and infuriating it is to hear you talk about losing relatives or having relatives sick for want of a vaccine that some guy goes on TV and throws shades on it. Really, I you know, and Chanza, you don't get mad, but I can see that it really is pushing you over the edge.
It's so infuriating. I mean, I have to say, I look at the number of lives that have been saved, and it's something to really celebrate. These vaccines. Again, we showed that graph of the plummeting death rates in nursing homes. I mean, they were where so many of these deaths were happening. And then I'm still getting questions from people who probably hear from Tucker Carlson or others even who then ask me, well, is it true the vaccine is causing people to die? And I just, it's constantly correcting the record. How do we grow as a society and grow our knowledge tree if we have to keep doing that? It's maddening. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
Look, and the Murdochs have to answer for this. You know, Paul Ryan has to answer for this. A lot of people have to answer for this at this point. Because this is happening every night. Thanks, Sanjay.
Oh, my God. I just had heart palpitations.
You know, all I can think of is the actual stories that have been out from the actuaries of the insurance companies that have been sounding the alarm that the amount of deaths are at a catastrophic rate. They went up from 5% to 40%, and a 10% increase would have indicated a catastrophic event, and we're up to 40%. The insurance companies are like, oh, my God, something bad is happening, and nobody wants to talk about it.
I think it is so strange that these insurance companies may be kind of helping to expose what's going on. I never thought in a million years that insurance companies would actually be doing something good for our side, but they are, because it's all about money, and it always has been about money. The thing about that interview that really just makes me want to drink, you know, was when they were talking about how after the vaccine, the number of nursing home deaths plummeted. Are you effing kidding me? We all know just in New York City how many people died in nursing homes. And that was basically, you know, I don't know. Can you say genocide when it's based on a category of people like the elderly? Or does genocide just have to do with a certain type of person, color, skin, religion?
A group of people, whatever group it might be, but that certainly was one type of a group, people that were sequestered and kept away from the outside world in a little environment that they were kept in and administered drugs against their will that put them into a death coma with remdesivir.
There were over 70,000 elderly who died in nursing homes in New York City. And this MFR has the nerve to come and say that COVID deaths were plummeting in nursing homes after the vaccine. Oh, my God. That is infuriating.
Well, talk about misinformation from the tree of knowledge. I like that so much. And I have seen many, many videos that came out of India in the last year of the Indian people rioting and throwing rocks at these people who were coming to give them these shots, because as soon as they got the shots, their relatives were paralyzed and dying. And they've been through this before. They've actually kicked Bill Gates out of India. He's persona non grata because of his bad vaccines that he's given them.
I think so.
Yeah, so this is really an amazing media propaganda program.
One of the biggest in history.
It really, really is. Oh, I don't know. Critical
so that was just one infuriating part of that. You know, let me just go over a couple more. Peter McCullough.
Sure.
Okay, so that clip, that's just very simple 3-minute clip. I believe in the full clip, he had another doctor on there prior to Dr. McCullough.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody can send me the YouTube video of the full segment, that full segment with Dr. McCullough. But back to the CNN people, they said, well, he's not a doctor. And I think somewhere in there, they actually said, you know, maybe if he would just get a doctor on there. And it's like, hello, what are you talking about? The segment was about doctors. It wasn't just Tucker Carlson wagging his finger at people and saying, you're stupid, don't get the vaccine. It wasn't like that. He asked a question, and we have a 6-minute and 40-second clip, of the CNN just not acknowledging anything that Tucker actually did. Like, nothing about that interview, that segment that CNN did, was even remotely close to what Tucker did in his segment. And it's just shocking that people, they won't even go and watch it. Not that they can. They probably can't really find the beginning of it. But as far as you're saying sound bites, you know, that's what it is. Like, that's all they can get are these little tiny sound bites. And, you know, so they're not even able to watch the Tucker Carlson clip, even to do the basics of research. And it's just maddening.
And I tell you what, even on our local news, are not reporting on all of these high school kids that are dropping dead in states. We had a couple a few weeks ago. I saw a couple more just today. a volleyball player, 18-year-old, and she died.
I saw a flag, a girl, 16-year-old, died in a flag football tournament or game.
Yeah. And they're mounting up. I really kind of hesitate to inundate my news feed with this bad news. But I think I might have to forego that and just start posting them so people can see. Because they're not getting out in the news. They're just being ignored. And I think they want us to do the ostrich head in the sand because it's just too overwhelming. But you have to pay attention when people who ask questions are demonized.
Yeah.
Something
is going on. Absolutely. You're not allowed to ask.
Exactly. And, they're passing laws. Are they going to deplatform and take Peter McCullough's license away because he's crossed
that
line?
It's already gone. I think they already took it away.
That's the conversation we need to start having is why are we going after people just like in 1938 they went after people for having a different way of life. We need to start opening our eyes and having the courage to have these hard conversations. I think the more kids start dropping dead, these poor parents are going to start becoming grief-stricken and angry, but then they have this new well-orchestrated kumbaya, everyone prayed, America prayed together for this guy and he's okay. That's why I think that this is orchestrated for a purpose, to get everyone in this prayers for Ukraine type of sentiment over what is happening. Seriously, because that's where we are. That's where we are. And that's how it seems to work. We can play them like a fiddle with this, and this works really well for a great many. And then the rest of you that are ungovernable, and we can't control you. You deplorable critical thinkers. We're going to deplatform you because you're a menace to society, and you're even a domestic terrorist. We really got to keep the big picture. The big picture needs to be illuminated with conversation. We don't let this just kind of go to the wayside. And even, to poo-poo this new line of thinking that perhaps this was a hoax, this was a prime-time pharma commercial event, that very well could be. Because
I don't know what the benefit of it is, though.
The benefit is that these to question and to put the vaccine in a bad light is causing people to die, and thank God you what was the thing they called? They said you won life. Don't worry about the game. You won life. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to puke when I heard that. And then I could see where it was going with this kumbaya praise. We stand with the Ukraine. We stand with the NFL. We stand with number three. The kid's going to have a reality show pretty soon. And it's going to be just going to make him
sick. That should be part of the settlement package because he's never going to be able to play football again.
Exactly. And that's why his parents are so quiet. That's what makes me wonder. I'm like, this is just so unlike a parent to not be up in arms. They're very happy to be sitting in the hospital with him watching his game and putting out his Instagram posts. And I'm like, I don't believe this for a minute. I really don't. And I wanted to know, is his little heartfelt fist hiding the trach? Is he worse off than, and is that really him? Did they do a RoboCop thing? It's kind of like, he's dead, but we were able to, boom. It's like you cannot trust these fucking people. It's unbelievable. It's everything that you see on TV is a staged event, and the motivation is to make the rest of you people who actually had children die at a high school event playing flag football or volleyball or basketball or softball, which has all happened in the last couple months just here in our area, and I'm sure all over the place, you know, you're getting a little girl in China died. She's the number one something or other gymnast. She just dropped dead from a heart attack.
There was a UFC 18-year-old died.
It's going to be, you know, just like allergy season, it's heart attack season. They're trying to normalize it. That is what the payoff is. They need to normalize it. They need to get you into kumbaya, buy a flag, do a parade, and rally for the troops. It's a 9/11 staged event, is what that
yeah.
is what, where I'm seeing this at.
Here's what I missed from a couple weeks ago. Ty King's daughter remains unconscious weeks after collapsing. And then in the article, it goes on to say it's the eldest daughter of King, of Ty King Maha. I can't even, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name. But you guys, starts with a V, you guys can look it up. So King Maha lost consciousness on December 15th due to severe heart arrhythmia resulting from inflammation following mycoplasma infection. Mycoplasma infection, according to a statement issued by, you know, so it basically, I'm pretty sure that means it attacked her heart, severe heart arrhythmia. So is that myocarditis, and they're just not trying to say it?
Inflammation of the heart. Why are people's hearts becoming inflamed?
We know why. They've admitted why, and we've got CNN over here saying it's absolutely no way it was the vaccine. Absolutely no way it was the vaccine. When the CDC comes out and says that, yeah, there is a way that it could be. We've got other countries banning it for young children, especially boys. But our country is about to make it mandatory to go to school.
I know.
I'm sick of it.
It's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. Now, did I not see, did you post something that NFL is deciding to do away with the shot?
Well, I posted that in our group chat. I didn't go, I didn't post it on my wall because apparently it was from last year, last March that they did that, where they weren't
really
forcing it anymore. Here's one other question that I have before I forget it is, I wonder how visible Hamlin was on social media, Instagram or wherever he posts. Was he like a regular poster, or is this something that just started? Because that would be, you know, a sign that he's got a handler if he just started posting
that
all of a sudden.
Yes, that would be very, very interesting to see this. Let me see. Well, you know, even if things are not, you know, printed today, the fact that, so they agreed to halt all aspects. And you know that, you know, they've halted all the mandates and things, and you've got more people that have been scared to death that are just simply wearing their mask for the rest of their lives because that's medicine for them. So these poor kids that, you know, just want to do what is right, they'll get all their vaccines and because that's the right thing to do. And it's absolutely criminal that there isn't anyone out there able to be an advocate for them in the media. No one's taking a stance. And it seems like the ones that are, they are mysteriously dying. If they take the wrong stance, they drop dead mysteriously. And this is the conversation we need to have, is Big Pharma running the country right now? Because it seemed to me that as soon as Biden was appointed via the Big Pharma companies to be president, he was the biggest spokesman for Big Pharma, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That was his mission, was to sell a vaccine to the country. And he was being managed by Big Pharma, in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't
think, for sure.
And,
they all are.
And when you talk about, but when you talk about who's running the country, the big top five or is it three companies, BlackRock, Vanguard, and Pfizer, perhaps, who's really in charge of the country right now?
Right.
It seems that Pfizer, Pfizer and biotech, those are the two big ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and here's a funny segue is, you know, how Pfizer and biotech is sponsoring the news. Well, yeah, 3 or 4 days later, Remy Martin was sponsoring the news. And I just thought, oh, because this is Chicago and that's, you know, the most, the ghetto-ish brandy that is pumped out to the masses. And I was like, well, of course. Remy Martin, Pfizer, it's all the same. We'll listen to any little shit you give us. You can call it news.
Have you heard the brought to you by Pfizer compilation?
No, I haven't.
Okay, let's see here.
It's you know, the way to combat any type of crisis has always been with good humor, and we seem to have a desert of even though, you know, this is kind of morbid, it's a morbid situation. We have this mass genocide going on, and to make fun of it, it's like in bad taste. But I think we do need people to somehow wake up the masses into the insanity of what's going on.
Well, that's what we've been trying to do this whole time, you know.
If good satire does it, then so be it. Because apparently, the words and the warnings of doctors and lawyers. I just watched another wonderful speech that Lee Dumas did on the lawsuit that she's brought for the pilots against this shot, and how dangerous this is, and that is what has caused all these delays, is that the fact that these pilots simply cannot fly anymore because they've been so impaired. It's dangerous, and they have a pilot shortage. That came around again, and I think that needs to be reiterated, that there are people awake, there are people fighting this, and it's just not – that should be the number one story. Not that Southwest, you know, fucked up on their computer thing. And then here, when that happened, that was very, very sick.
I was driving to Vegas. I got caught up in that nonsense.
I know. And I thought, you know, the way that they were demonizing Southwest, because that happened all over the place, but it seems to be only Southwest. And knowing that the NIH, National Institute of Health, has contracts with the airlines. Now, the National Institute of Health has a contract with the airlines. Why would that be? Could it be because they're paying these airlines to fly chemicals all through the skies, and that's what you see laying out in the sky, is a dusting of sickness to keep you sick and keep you under the control of the pharmaceutical companies, and to keep this never-ending pandemic going? Could be. And could it be that Southwest has a little bit of ethics, and they've decided to take a pass on that, so therefore they're being sabotaged because they're not playing ball, and they're made to look like a bunch of bumbling fools in order to get them to either play ball and do what we say, or you're not going to operate? I'm wondering if that was not the case on that, because that was a complete cyber attack on their systems, because they couldn't even figure out where their pilots were. I mean, it was like they were so crippled by having to use computers, and their computers were down, and it was just an absolute nightmare mess. It seemed as if it was a cyber attack of what was going on, from what I heard.
Just one little interesting tidbit. So I drop off the kids go to visit their dad a couple times a year. I take them to the airport and I sit with them, wait for them to get on the plane, right? So the last time, just I guess a few days before everything went to shit, maybe a week, up to a week, we were sitting in the airport And Southwest comes on, you know, the loudspeaker and says, you know, so we need the, you know, the flight 23 whatever 87 going to Boston or going to Chicago. We've oversold the flight by 12 seats or 23 seats. I forget. I think it was something crazy, like 23 seats. And I'm like, whoa, like how do you, what's going on that you're overselling by that
right.
much? It must be something in their scheduling software, right? That was just the random
uh-huh.
thought, you know, a week before this stuff happened, that it was just grossly oversold. And they're like, we're offering you, you know, there's another flight tomorrow morning. There's a, you know, this, there's that, you know, we can give you money and all this stuff. And I was like, wow, that's really, and I even pointed it out to the kids. I was like, isn't it, you know, I could see a couple seats, like, you know, before the system timed out or something, right? Because they work from home, you know? So the system needed to refresh or something, and so oversold by a couple seats, right? I could see that happening, but this was a really weird amount. And then everything started going to hell. And, you know, and so it really, yeah, weather did have something to do with it, but it was their software. And, you know, at the end of the day, that made this such an impossible nightmare. So it was actually kind of cute, though. We went to, I took the kids to the airport. They flew to Dallas. Then from there, they stayed with their dad for a week in Dallas and then went on kind of like a family trip to Las Vegas for the week of Christmas. There was something that one of his really good friends got this crazy bonus at work and got this, you know, adjoining rooms for free. And anyway, so they spent the week of Christmas with a good family friends of theirs. And so we had to fly them from Vegas, not from Dallas, but from Vegas to San Diego. Long story short, sorry. Three biggest hubs that were affected by this was Chicago, San Diego, and Las Vegas. So we're like, well, shit. What, you know, what are the odds? It's been days and days. I even called a client of mine. I walk her dog. Is a radar person, flight traffic control, radar traffic control person for Southwest or for uh-huh. San Diego Airport. So I text her. I'm like, hey, so I hear there's, and I'm seeing news stories that there's no outgoing flights from San Diego until the beginning of the year, like just crazy stuff. And so we're like, what are the odds that our children are going to make it home? Because remember, now they're flying by themselves, and if it got canceled, if it got delayed, their dad was leaving the same day just a couple hours later. So they would have been left alone in Vegas, like, long story short. That the dad was just like, just let it go. And so we're like, no. Because what would happen if, you know, it's on time, and then we actually called Southwest, sat on hold for an hour and almost 2 hours, hour and 40-something minutes. And we finally got a hold of somebody, and they said that, you know, we can cancel now. We don't know. It's about a 50-50% chance that your kids are going to fly. And we're like, okay, so I'm not really a betting woman, but 50% isn't really something that I'm willing to gamble my children on, you know?
I would not feel comfortable. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't feel comfortable with them flying by themselves, period, in this day and age. It would be like,
well,
I'm sorry, you're on a leash and you're next to me.
But you know, when I put them on a plane, and it has to be a direct flight, transferring in airports, you know, anything like that. It's just a straight through, you know, and I put them on the plane and I take a picture of them going onto the plane, and their dad, he knows the drill. He takes a picture of them walking off the plane. You know, that's just how we do, you know, and have been doing this for a long time. So I hate it. So this
I would,
but,
yeah,
you know,
it would be like the hardest thing to have to do. I would be like, you know what, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to move into the state or you don't see my kids. I would be one of those horrible ex-wives. I'm like, we're not doing this.
So I really feel for you on that.
Yeah, and I just can't let them go. It's just, you know, he's gone so much that those times are kind of, I really do try to keep it amicable. I you know, it shouldn't, it's like kind of the first law of divorce and child court is that the kids need to stay out of it. You can't poison the well, you know.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Can't,
they've
you know.
They've got to have their parents, yeah. I agree
yeah.
with
so,
you on that.
Yeah, right. And even if the other parent's doing it, you know. But so anyway, so
yeah.
We decide, we're like 50% isn't something that we're going to be willing to be comfortable with. So we got in the car, took Tiva. We bought the cheapest hotel room that we could find in Rio, because we remembered there was a really good buffet at Rio. So, we booked the cheapest room. It was like, you know, $79, you know, and we were like, great, this is going to be crap, right? So we drove there the night before.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw
and,
the pictures, and I was like, how did you...
Now, wait, hold on, don't spoil
okay.
it. That's, yeah.
All
right. So we get there, Eva's with us too, right? And we get to Rio, and we're rushing, right, at this point, because we're like kind of getting late. We hit a little bit of traffic, and we're like, we really wanted to make that buffet. We were only there for one night. So we get there, and it turns out the buffet had been closed since COVID, but we were like shattered, right? We're like, damn, we really, it was the best buffet in Vegas. It was the Rio buffet. And they were the only ones with sneeze guards. I don't understand why the ones with the sneeze guards already up were the ones that closed. Anyway, it took forever for my husband to check in. And so I'm sitting kind of far away from the dog, and my husband's a little worried because she's a service animal, but like not everywhere is like California. California, you're like,
right.
Yeah, no, this is a service animal. She, okay, no problem. We're waiving all the fees. There's no fees for you, right? But going somewhere else, he's always worried about it, right? So, and he got word that it's $150 for an animal. But so I thought he was working on that. And me and Tiva, where she's a good girl. Like we were on the casino floor, just kind of like hanging out, and there were bing, 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 ding, 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 honking everywhere, and she was not going nuts. So so he finally gets out of line, because he's saying, like, stay a little bit away, you know, so, you know, they don't see the dog, basically. You know, he comes out of line, he's like, I was like, did you get an upgrade? And he's like, no, they didn't have any upgrades available. I was like, damn, okay, whatever, let's just go into our shitty hotel room, it's probably whatever. And so we get, you know, we get to the door and he opens it up and I'm expecting to like look in and see a bed, and I see a second story, and it was the penthouse, and it was gorgeous. And I was like, what is this? How in the world? So he's like, I don't like lying to you, but you know, we did get an upgrade. And it was the coolest thing. You walk in, it's floor to ceiling, two stories windows, overlooking the strip. And a grand piano and a huge living room. And, you know, then upstairs is a spiral staircase up to one bedroom. There's only one bedroom in this thing.
Wow.
His and hers closets, jacuzzi tub, you know, two-person shower, just four toilets, one bed in this
wow.
massive room, you know. But it was gorgeous. And
I was like, you are living the caviar dreams. It was like rock star. I was like, wow, look at that. And you know what killed me is you're like, you know, you went out and you got your food. It was in these styrofoam containers on this gorgeous table that was, you know, fit for, you know, candelabras and wine glasses.
Yeah, formal
and I was
dining.
Like, shit, where's the china? You need to be eating on china.
Are we doing it right?
This is just wrong right now. No styrofoam.
Two cans of beers. Two cans of beers and styrofoam tickets.
Living the dream. Oh my god, it was gorgeous. But you did. I was like, holy cow, look at you. It was almost worth driving because it looked like a cool little adventure.
It was.
To do that.
It was. He said that they didn't actually have any suites available. That's what he wanted. And they're like, what about a penthouse? And he's like, no, I don't even want to know the price. It's got to be thousands of dollars, right? And they're like, yeah, no, 400. And he's like, oh, no. I mean, if you could do it for like 250, that would be okay. And the manager did it for 250. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. That is so cool. That's so good to know. So good to know that there's still some nice people out there, you know?
Yeah. Well, that was a good news report. I just got to say, that's all the good news we're probably going to get for this show.
There you go. And I tell you what, I don't like politics much anymore. I don't know if you've realized this, but
I think I noticed.
The speaker, and I have to apologize, I used to love it, but I have waned, waxing globulous. But this thing with the speaker of the house, I'm like, oh my God, is this not Kabuki theater? And it's just that I don't quite understand what people are telling me when I'm listening to the story, because I'm like, how many times are going to vote for this? I was like,
as many as
times. Give up. I was like,
they got
to
15.
But that's not what it was. That's how many votes he was short. And I'm like, oh, now I understand how this works. Okay. So after a while, I'm reading the stories different because that is how my mind works. I'm a different, I'm not from this world. Even I don't follow directions. I can't read them. So I'm a different species. So sometimes it's not you. It's me that's wrong. But when I read the article, when he finally did get it, and he got his 15 votes, so he crossed the aisle and made friends and whatnot. I watched the story and read the whole story, and what they put in this deal to get this done along the they're going back to the Jeffersonian way of doing government, where it's not so much, oh, well, the Democrats just want to say, you know, like AOC is always going to say, like, oh, he's wrong, I get him out of here, just to have that one vote, that one dissenting person can get rid of the speaker now. That's how it used to be.
Right, Nancy Pelosi got rid of it.
Right, yeah. And so that's been put back in. And a couple other things, but the one that stood out, and I'm like, this is great news, this is the best news, because everybody's, you know, demonizing and hates, you know, McCarthy because he's, you know, not what he's a rhino and whatnot. He has put in that they are going to do away with all federal mandates in the COVID emergency laws, and the COVID emergency money is going away, so they can't do this to us anymore. And I'm like, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So if anything, that was the best news of the week was what happened then. And I don't think enough people went that far into the story to see that the Wicked Witch is dead. And it was well worth all the spooky theater. I'm like,
And, you know, I was actually like, you know, a little bit following it. I know that this is like the first time that, you know, that we've seen this. I think one story said 1920s, and then another one is like since the Civil War, right after the Civil War, that this has happened. And really, honestly, it really just shows that, okay, so there's something that happened when Pelosi was being nominated and voted on the last time, right, which was what the left called was forced the vote, right? That's what a big faction of progressives were talking about, forcing the vote. And they're, of course, talking about forcing the Medicare vote, which I'm not really a big fan of the Medicare, knowing, you know, what I know now and what they just did to us and what they've just, you know, tried to force down our bodies and our lives. So I certainly don't want the government to be in charge of, and they're censoring healthcare providers, taking away their licenses if they go against, the establishment narrative. Like, who wants to be a part of that healthcare system? However, this is basically the same setup, and I believe it was the exact amount of votes just flipped, right? So the Democratic Congress under Nancy Pelosi has the exact amount that the Republican Congress has in the Republicans' favor, if that makes sense, right? So it's the same amount of votes. And really what it says is that, you know, because we could not vote for you. Same thing, you know, we're not going to do it because unless we get this, this, and this concession, force the vote. And it's funny because now we're seeing the Republicans doing the exact, you know, doing what the Democrats should have done. I think there was only one vote, maybe two votes. I doubt it. I think it's just one, you know, one vote for Pelosi, and she was in. She got it on the first round. No concessions were asked for. You know, the squad that was supposed to be in there because of that, because, you know, because they were going to stand up to corruption and blah, blah, blah. They flipped, you know, just they fell right into line. And so, for, you know, the Democrats are definitely more in, you know, into this, the party line kind of thing than the Republicans are. And the fact that that there was a group of, you know, 20 people who stood up and said, no, we're not going to vote for you for this because of your, allegiance to the World Economic Forum, because of, a whole bunch of things. He's a rhino. He's been in there for a long time. Like, for every, you know, a Lindsey Graham, you know, there's a Chuck Schumer. They are represented by the same people, right? So I really appreciated that there were at least 20 Republicans willing to stand up and try to get the old guard out, because they know who they're beholden to, and they know, that this is going to be an uphill battle, because who assigns the assignments that or the debates and the bills that are up for for a vote. It's the Speaker of the House, right? So if the Speaker of the House says, no, we're never going to, pass a law, withdrawing support for the Yemeni war, right? Like, he'll never do that. So if that, that's kind of what I think was kind of cool about all of this, is that there were actually people who decided to stand up and say, no, we want this to change. And this, you know, if we can make these fundamental changes, then maybe we'll have a chance of fixing things instead of this deadlock that we've been in. And it's just getting worse and worse. So I don't know. I applaud them. And I think Sean Hannity was retarded.
I tell you what, I have been watching this Ken Burns documentary on the Roosevelts. And it is so fascinating that this, what is going on now in politics, is nothing new. When Teddy Roosevelt got into politics, it was very similar to what we have now. And even like after his first term, the comparisons of the demonizing of him and what goes on with Trump, because he was so like – Trump was so like Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt. And what was going on in the publicity, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is almost like just – it's a do-over. 100 years, do-over, different faces, same kind of things. The parties wanted to change, the gridlock, the social – problems, the reconstruction of from Civil War and into the Spanish War, and then into, there was even January 6th, they had that happening at the White House over in the 30s. When FDR got in, it looked just like the Trump rally. But take away the Trump signs, and the same thing happened, but they were all wanting to see Roosevelt. And I'm like, oh, my God, they had an insurrection back then. Oh, was that an insurrection? No, that was the public coming to the White House to see their candidate. And I'm like, oh, my God, look at this. And right before that happened, like a couple of years before that, they had, who was it, Calvin Coolidge?
Uh-huh.
They reneged on, that the economy crashed. And they had the Depression, and the war veterans were not getting their pensions. They burnt the Capitol down. It was worse than what happened during the summer with Trump. They had fires. They called out the military. It was unbelievable. I'm like, we just had this, but I'm watching this happen 100 years ago. It's the same type of social problems and reactions, and the politics ebbed and flowed. And the parties changed, and then the world events changed. And we're seeing this. It's almost like nothing is new under the sun. And politics are just politics.
And what I found fascinating, though, back then was right at the appropriate time, their opponents were assassinated. I never knew there was that many assassinations. I always thought that Kennedy was shot. That was not the first assassination in this country.
No.
They had I'm like, oh, is this not interesting? I got to Google. They even tried to shoot FDR. And the mayor of Chicago was mortally wounded and shot next to him instead. And I'm like, oh, this is who is this guy? I got to find out who he was. But it's almost as if they had everything kind of – it's fascinating. And I'm thinking, I'm like, if Liz Cheney ever gets a hold of this documentary, it's going to be banned because nobody's able to see it.
I want to say a quick hi to the people in the comments or in the chat room. So, hello, Yeah. Well, no, they're not. They're just they're listening. They're not callers.
Oh.
They're in the chat. So hello.
It's a joke, so. Join the conversation.
Speaking of January 6th.
Yeah.
I do have. I would like to play a talker about the lies being told by the left about January 6th and how they just keep lying and they keep, even mm-hmm. though it's been disproven so many times, you can still find these articles up about all of these like strange things that never happened, like five police officers dying at the, at the quote unquote riot and, which didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right. So, but if you don't mind,
exactly.
I'd love to play that. So, because this is, you know, here we are in current times and this is worse than 9/11.
It is. It is, you know, it's the cult of the
mm-hmm.
January 6th.
Yes.
And they arrested Ashley Babbitt's mom.
I saw that. You know, they're from my neighborhood, right?
Oh my God, are they really? Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And that's the crime, is that the real crime is now you are, there's no respect, there's no empathy, there's no tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
In this day, I was like, oh, we really are like, you know, this North Korea Gestapo type of intolerance is what we've got
yeah.
going on here.
Yep.
And it's very, very disheartening. But the one thing about this walk down memory lane with this history of the country is that it's going to be okay because this is not the first time this has happened, even
mm-hmm.
even this. Because, like, the fight with the Constitution. You know, FDR is, like, the most lauded president in between him and Teddy, but they both took the Constitution and said it's old, it's outdated, this is what we need, and they changed the country for the better. And in the fight over the Constitution, it was like, wow, had they not done what was good for the people. And they even were talking about the Supreme Court, and I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what's going on now. But they had the country's best interest at heart. And it made me look, I'm like, I gotta reevaluate and see, let's see, if I could take away the fact that they tried to, like, shut the economy down, kill everyone's jobs, inject poison into us against our will, were they, if I look at it different, were they maybe, did they have our best interest at heart? Maybe, I don't know. But but it's
mm-hmm.
very similar. It's crazy. But it's not the times that we're living in are not the worst. It's like if you go back and look at what happened then, that was the worst, and we made it through that. So I think we're going to make it through this one too. So
yeah, and they all had victory gardens.
Well, hey, yeah, and those are the things that really need to come back. Is that
absolutely?
And
okay, let's do this video on Tucker and then talk about it or on January 6th.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Kevin McCarthy's continued attempt to become Speaker of the House continues at this hour. The House is expected to take another vote late tonight. You'll see it live here on Fox, of course. But first, an anniversary. 2 years ago today, a Capitol Hill police officer called Michael Byrd shot an unarmed woman in the neck. At the time of that killing, Byrd had a documented history of gross negligence with a firearm. He left a loaded Glock pistol in a public men's room at the Capitol, which for a law enforcement official is a firing offense. But for some reason, Michael Byrd was still in the force that day. The woman he killed was called Ashley Babbitt. Babbitt was a married 14-year veteran of the U.S. military. She ran a pool cleaning company with her husband in San Diego. Physically, she was tiny. She was also unarmed. Michael Byrd later admitted he had no indication at all that Babbitt was carrying a weapon. She posed no visible threat. He killed her anyway. Under normal circumstances, Byrd would have been fired immediately and charged with murder, which he clearly committed. But that's not what happened. After doing essentially no investigation into the shooting, Nancy Pelosi's Congressional Police Force declared Byrd a national hero, and the media strongly agreed. Byrd went on television to accept accolades and to complain about racism. He was never punished for killing Ashley Babbitt. He was rewarded for it. Ashley Babbitt's mother, meanwhile, got a very different sort of treatment. Babbitt's mother was arrested today in Washington by the Capitol Police. Her crime? Trying to hold a memorial service for her daughter. 2 years later, it's clear that Ashley Babbitt is, her death is by far the most significant thing that happened at the U.S. Capitol building that day. But at the same time, it is the least talked about event of January 6th. Why is that? Well, because the facts about what actually happened on January 6th disrupt the lies, what they told you happened on January 6th. And those lies have proven very useful to the Biden administration and to permanent Washington. On the basis of a wholly created myth about what happened that day, the Biden Pentagon conducted an unprecedented political purge of the entire U.S. military. The FBI and various intel agencies increased their control over the American media. And most obviously, the DOJ has been allowed to prosecute and jail hundreds of nonviolent political protesters whose crime was having the wrong opinions. Lies about January 6th, which have been relentless, have enabled some of the most unscrupulous people in our country to make a mockery of our Bill of Rights and to steal our core freedoms. So they can't talk about Ashley Babbitt. Talking about Ashley Babbitt makes it very clear who the real culprits are and who the real threats to this country continue to be, and they're not the January 6th protesters. So instead, they lie about what happened that day, and they do it in the boldest possible ways, without shame and with maximum aggression. Here's Hakeem Jeffries, leader of the Democrats in the House, telling you that five police officers were killed on January 6th, when in fact the real total is zero.
We are gathered here to honor their memory and acknowledge with deep gratitude the tremendous bravery of the hundreds of officers who defended us at this citadel of democracy that fateful day. As a result of the events on January 6th, the lives of five heroic officers were lost.
Five heroic officers were lost, he said. It's almost impossible to believe that adults could stand behind him as he said that, because everyone in the picture you just saw knows that is not true. It's not a stilted interpretation of events. It's a flat-out lie. No police officers were killed on January 6th, period. Ashley Babbitt was killed on January 6th. But chances are your grandchildren will not know that, because history will likely record the lie you just heard as true, simply because it's been repeated so often. Everyone in authority has said the same thing in unison for two solid years. As our thoroughly dishonest attorney general recently put it, quote, we will never forget the five officers who responded selflessly on January 6th and who have since lost their lives. His boss, Joe Biden, repeated that lie today from the White House.
These people and the people representing those who couldn't be here because they gave their lives for this did is incredibly consequential. And that's not political talk, that's historical fact.
That's historical fact, says Joe Biden, as he manufactures history, as he tells lies. They've been doing this, telling these same lies, since the very first day, January 6th, 2021, almost like it was a coordinated operation. Remember when they told you that Brian Sicknick, Officer Brian Sicknick, was beaten to death with a fire extinguisher?
Officer Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher.
Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the hours-long attack.
They beat a Capitol Police officer to death with a fire extinguisher.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the fight.
He died at the age of 42 after he was bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher.
That's not true. And in the end, thanks to the medical examiner in the District of Columbia, we learned the fact, which is that Brian Sicknick died of a stroke well after the January 6th protests. He was not beaten to death with a fire extinguisher. But that did not stop their lying or even slow them down. Joe Biden just awarded one of this country's highest civilian honors, the Presidential Citizens Medal, to officers working on January 6th. And that would include the officers who opened the doors of the Capitol building to the so-called insurrectionists. The officers who let them inside and then were rewarded for it by the President of the United States. What's going on here, you may wonder. Well, don't ask. You're not allowed to know what's going on here. Nor can you know about the very obvious clandestine role of federal agencies that encouraged the events of January 6th. That happened, but its details have never been explained. A lot has still not been explained from that day, despite a committee that was impaneled for more than a year. For example, you remember the pipe bomber who planted explosives outside the Democratic National Committee? Well, those explosives, it turns out, were under a bench at the same moment that Kamala Harris, who had Secret Service protection with her, who swept the building, was there. So how did the U.S. Secret Service miss a bomb sitting in plain sight during its security sweep? Well, we can't answer that because the FBI still, to this day, refuses to release all the security footage. Why? What's going on here? Almost unique among media outlets, Revolver News asked that question.
The pipe bomber even looks at camera to head on, for some reason. It's very frustrating, because we can't see the moment the pipe bomber plants the pipe bomb, but the FBI can. That's because the whole scene should be captured on camera 1 as well, and much more clearly than camera 2. Camera 1 has a clear shot of both benches. If the FBI released the full tape from camera 1, we could see the pipe bomber planting the bomb.
So somebody planted bombs outside the headquarters of this country's two main political parties. That would seem to be a big story, and yet no one ever mentions it again, including the FBI. In fact, the Bureau won't disclose any information about the suspect, not his height, weight, shoe size, anything. So if they wanted to catch this person, wouldn't they be telling you all they can about who it is? But they're not. Why aren't they? And what was Kamala Harris doing there? Why did she lie about being there? We can't answer those questions. We should be able to. Nor does anyone in authority want to talk about Ray Epps. Ray Epps, of course, is the man who was caught on tape encouraging the crowd outside the Capitol, both on January 5th and 6th, to commit felonies by rushing inside. Now, what's interesting is that the January 6th committee, under public pressure, did in the end interview Ray Epps. Now, we don't have all of the committee's records about that interview. We should, but we don't. But some have been released, and what they tell is a remarkable story. In the testimony that we have, the committee coaches Ray Epps on how to answer questions about his involvement. Quote, "I was in the front with a few others. I also orchestrated it. I helped get people there." End quote. Now, Epps admitted that in a text message to a relative on January 6th. He's admitting crimes. He's never been even charged for those crimes. But what's so fascinating is that when those facts came up in his interview with the committee, someone on the committee responds this way, and we're quoting, "I just want to understand a little more your use of the word orchestrated. It sounds to me like at this point, when you sent this text, you had turned away in part because of seeing some things that you didn't agree with. Is that right? Like when you sent this, you were already on your way from the Capitol because of concerns of people taking it in a different direction." Is that the most leading question ever asked in the history of a congressional hearing? Probably. And the whole interview goes on like this. Keep in mind, Ray Epps is one of the only people caught on camera that day encouraging others to break the law. He's one of the only ones. And yet he's never been charged. And the January 6th committee was on his side. Why was the committee and its members working so hard to help Ray Epps. Now, in his interview with the committee, Ray Epps said he didn't work for law enforcement. Law enforcement, in a very specifically worded answer, clearly thought through ahead of time. The question is, did Ray Epps work or have any contact with any government agency? Did he talk about January 6th before it happened with any employee of the U.S. government? We don't know. We do know that 2 years after January 6th, long after an awful lot of other people have gone to jail for walking around the Capitol building, Ray Epps is still a free man. He's never been charged, much less imprisoned in solitary confinement like so many others. Why is that? Well, let's just stop lying. At this point, it's pretty obvious why that is. But, of course, they're still lying about it. Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel to catch our nightly opens, stories that are changing the world and changing your life. I'm Tucker Carlson tonight.
Okay, so thoughts? First of all, was any of that new to you?
No. But what continually bothers me about this is that nobody wants to go any farther with the story of all, is it 600 Americans have been arrested for the crime of being at the Capitol and are being held without trial, without, they're basically political prisoners, and nobody wants to bring that out and say, hey, can we have trials? If you want to have a January 6th inquiry, I think it would be probably best served if we started having trials for the criminals over there. We could find out what the real story is. Instead, these people are languishing in gulag style prisons in the United States of America. And it's only touched upon and not spoken about. Infuriates me and disappoints me greatly.
And the Ashley Babbitt's mom thing is, she's been protesting there, I guess, for months. It's not like, you know, it's not like it's a new thing. She's been there for months. And so they arrest her on January 6th on the anniversary of her daughter's death. What a bunch of assholes. Those are assholes.
Exactly. And why that, like I said, I don't have TV anymore. So who is anyone championing that story? Hannity, Tucker, Laura, everybody? Newsman?
No. I mean, Tucker did a documentary on it.
He does a lot of good stuff on his streaming. It doesn't
He's
get
like
out
the
there.
Only one I like these days. Hannity, the way that he handled that that McCarthy vote was just really dumb. That's when his deep state comes out, because he's on the same team as Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy.
Really?
Yeah, it's that deep state,
I really think after watching Hannity for so long, it was like such negativity that was sucking energy from me. Because, his main position is to make you upset.
And he never met a war he didn't like.
No, or a politician that it's his job to demonize. And then segue, Obama's gone, segue into Sleepy Joe. And then it's like, it doesn't matter. It's almost like he'll sing for whoever pays his dinner bill, he'll sing for. And I'm like, he has a whole lot of credibility for me. And even having, his interviews with Trump, it's almost like, it makes me not like Trump even a little less more, because he's sucking up the
He's on the Trump team, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And not that I'm not, but...
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
Here's the similarities between Teddy Roosevelt and Donald Trump. They both had such incredible personalities. People loved them. They had, a lot of potential and did a lot of change. And then didn't take criticism that well. And then this incredible loss. Like, there wasn't a second reelection for Roosevelt. And he was just, devastated, because it should have been more. And it's almost like, I've heard this before. I'm
have I watched this? Even though it was like, you know, we saw the election being stolen, but it was like the two personalities are pretty much the same. And it's very, very interesting. And the fact that, I don't know, I look at this whole thing with the warp drive thing that he almost pushed that vaccine out there for the next team. The next team to take it down the road.
Yeah.
I was like the and I'm like, and then he went off away, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. And for this huge savior to come say, no, that ship has sailed. I'm sorry. We need more direct energy in the direction of what we need. He's retired. And even DeSantis, it's like he needs to stay right where he's at because the similarities of back then and now. It's like back then they had the Depression hit, and it was 3 years of destroying the company. The country was destroyed.
Country, yeah.
It took 3 years. We've had 3 years of the same thing. They handled it a little different. They're trying to handle it similar, you know, and it's almost like they bought it out back then and brought us up out of the Dust Bowl. They're trying to do the same thing. And it's like, they destroy you and then they build you up and they give you crumbs and here, now everything's okay. I don't know. Then back then, everybody flocked to California, was the Mecca. Everything will be okay in California. They got the California. We don't want you. There's too many people here. Everybody's flying down to Texas, Florida, Tennessee. That's not the solution to the problem. The problem is to stand your ground and live your life and make them take notice that we will not take this anymore. And to wait for this savior to come out of the I don't know. The whole thing with this Trump thing, the ship has sailed for me with him. I like him because he did not do the political correctness, but he also, I don't know. I think he might have been just a cog in their wheel of this vaccine program that they had all nailed down, and then this new crash in the economy. And back then, it happened the same. And just, see, here... We should have had a Great Depression several times, and we bailed out the banking system each time. This country has been like, you know, kind of like held together with a little finger in the dam that's going to burst one of these days. And it's
the housing crisis was pretty bad, right?
Yeah. And now, then the banking, you know... Each bailout, didn't even want to call it a recession. But now, here's something I'd like to talk about, because this is scary, actually, is the amount of people that are being laid off. And it was kind of like that's how that started back then. Everybody started losing jobs. Nobody had jobs. Nobody. And there was no way to make money for years. And then people were starving. Well, now it's thousands and thousands of companies are laying off thousands and thousands of people. And now I'm getting all these little tidbits of through these crazy little what's happening in your town places, sites, the pharmacies. The little pharmacies are suddenly shut down in one day. People go to get the prescriptions filled, they're gone. They're like, what happened? Nobody knows. It's happened to three different pharmacies. And then they had a little news story. This is the Chicagoland area of a certain medical company that was going on strike in 3 days. This is last week. And the reason they're going on strike, and I'm thinking, is that they're still doing the vaccine mandate thing with these people? Because usually that's what was prompting these things. No, the big corporations, Big Pharma, has decided we're firing the doctors. And they ended Zoom. This is how you do the doctors now. They're doing everything Zoom. You Zoom call to the doctor, and they, you know, say, okay, go pick your prescription up over here. So you don't even have to leave your house. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So here's a Zoom call of the doctor, and this was a therapist, I believe. And all of a sudden, he was fired in the middle of his consultation with his patient, and he was not able to get in contact with his patient to let him know what happened. This was the kind of thing that was going on with his call.
Interesting.
They were going on strike. And I found it fascinating.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I found it very fascinating.
Hello?
That this is all happening within the medical field all at once, no warning, no explanation. And I'm like, okay, who's coming in to sweep up all of this? They can't just have all these sick people that need medicine and no place to fill the prescriptions. They can't to take people's doctors away from them with a click of a button and expect, okay, you have all these crazy sick people, they need doctors. What are you thinking of doing here? Are we going to all of a sudden have a new Amazon medical van that will come to your house? Are they all just going to, you know, is it going to be a Walmart situation, an Amazon situation that's going to come save the day? Because CVS is shutting down, Walgreens are shutting down, and I'm like, this is like, where are these people getting their medications from? And now, and
yeah.
I'm like, this is a story that's not being talked about. But people are like, what's going on Facebook in real life? And then
right.
Restaurants, but there's no forewarning at all. Like, these people don't know that they're being put out of business. And I'm like,
whoa.
This is an interesting thing. Is anything like that happening out by you?
Not
you know
really.
Of?
No, not really. There are things going out of business. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
Okay.
But
sorry, I was trying to set up a microphone, but.
Yeah. No, I can hear you really good. But like we had, like the Denny's. The Denny's closed down. And then, you know, of course, the taco. All these little places, people are like, oh, okay. There's a sign. We got there, and there's a sign that says we've been closed. Not that we're closed for the day. We're just closed. And they're like, wow. So little things like that, but on top of those pharmacies and then this doctor thing that I'm not hearing anything more about because apparently they did go on strike or I don't know. But I'm like, who's the big guy on top that just decides, click, you're not practicing anymore. And your Zoom call, your ability to Zoom call your patients is gone. That's very fucking scary.
That's yeah, that,
big
yeah.
Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting to get more feedback from these people that are in need of their services and where are they going? So that's the new development in the Chicagoland area right now on top of the relentless carjackings and whatnot. Happy days.
Well, I can tell you the big problem out here is more the cost of living. You know, it's getting so bad that it's, you know, it's going to be nearly impossible for my children in a few years if we keep going this way for them to be out on their own. You know, even now it's
uh-huh.
they say that like 40% to 50% of people ages 19 to 30 still live at home. It's nuts.
Well, I tell you what, that phenomenon there, I don't have a problem with that. I think we need to get back to being families again. They had
yeah.
a family home, and you would get, and there's movies, you know, like what was the best one? Radio Days, where the whole family lived in the home, or Moonstruck, the whole family lived in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's how families used to live.
Like Downton
and
Abbey.
Yes, exactly, exactly, but not that big of a house. But that was still, you know, without the servants. But that's how people lived. That's why you had big homes and, you know, you had your own married people lived, brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas. They lived in the home. That was not unheard of. And that's, I think we need to get back to that. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
For poor society. And then your mom, you know, that's when people can get ahead, you save. Now, like, you know, to boot everybody out on the streets and everybody has to try to, you know, live the standard of living, which is a $1,400 for a one-bedroom apartment. I'm like, oh, my God, I have got it really, really good. I need to start appreciating what I have because those rents are not out there anymore. And I'm like, how are people able to pay this? And how are they renting these properties at that price? You know,
right.
You have to think that supply and demand at some point, it'd be like, nobody can afford to pay this. So you need to go back to how it was 7 months ago, back to your $800-$900.
Yeah. One of the worst streets around here, like as far as like pavement goes, I did a video of it the other day because it was so bad. And it seems like every time it rains, like the roads must be made out of paper or something, but because they just, they crumble in rain. And I took a video down the street and you know, something that I noticed is that the apartments on that street they range from $4,000 a month for, I want to say $4,000 a month for a one-bedroom, up to $9,000 a month for a three-bedroom.
Oh, my God. How? What are they paying the people out there to be able to do that? I don't know.
Well.
That's beyond the scope. It really, really is. And, I don't know. I'm seeing a time very, very soon that people are just, and that might be happening, and I'm not realizing it, because there's a lot of people at the forest preserves, lots of cars. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then I'm thinking, are these homeless people? Are people living in their cars? And we're just not aware of it. Are there more people that don't have housing, and they're just scraping by? And this is the new story that nobody's talking about. I'm wondering, because I don't know how people can afford to. I mean, you know, lettuce was $7.99 a couple weeks ago. Now it's back to $2.99, but eggs are $8. So
eggs are ridiculous.
It's and then the price of your electric bill and your heating bill and your, you know, gas is starting to creep up again. It went down under $3, but now it's getting there, $3.50 now. It's like this constant.
Here it is. I'm off by a little bit. Hold on just one sec. I'm off by a little bit. In this complex, a one-bedroom is $3,000 to $4,400. A two-bedroom is $4,100 to $5,800. And three bedrooms are $4,100 to $5,200.
Okay, so what is like an entry-level position job? What's the salaries for these jobs that you have? Because people, not everybody can be a corporate CEO or a movie star. There has to be like regular jobs for them to be able to...
They certainly don't live in Point Loma. They get, you know, they commute or something. Let's see.
That's insane. Insane.
Okay, so median household income in San Diego is $83,454. That was in 2020. So I wonder if, so 21 is 89,000. Yeah. It's up to nearly 90 now.
And that has to be
2021 anyway.
You have to have two people making 90 grand to be able to live.
Yep.
And then maybe have another job.
Yes.
Crazy.
It looks like we've got a caller.
Oh, yay. Let him in. Let him in. Trick or treat.
Hello.
Hey, trick or treat. Hello. How you doing? This is Nathan in Orlando.
I want to throw
something out to you. There's a lawyer, a realtor in the Atlanta area. Her name is Glenda Baker. You can find her on YouTube and TikTok, and she's talking about some of these issues. I talked to her, and I've tried to put her out for some interviews. There's a lot of crazy stuff at the top going on. Like, you know, this thing, every week almost you get a call with someone wanting to buy your house, and you got a $200,000-$300,000 house, and they'll give you $30,000 for it and let you live in it till you, like, for a month, that kind of stuff. And they're snatching up your, something that's going on is they come in, they buy these houses, And then they fix it up. They, you know, mow the grass, put a roof on it, and paint it, and then they, like, triple their money. But what that does is, because your taxes is based on the value of your house, but your value goes up whenever this house in the neighborhood gets sold for this crazy amount. They go, not only the housing market goes off the last house and what it sold for, but your local tax is saying your tax went up because your house is worth this much. So they're inflating this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you can look her up And I can, if you want, I can get in the email in the chat room and send you her, contact information.
That would be awesome. That'd Thank be you. Great. I don't have a pen and paper near.
Yeah.
That is happening. I see that all over.
Yeah.
Here's
what they did in my neighborhood. There was a guy, him and his wife had a fuss. They got divorced, and it was a big thing. So they came in and gave them basically, and, you know, they're not going to fight over the price. They just want to get out of each other's lives. So they sold the house real, real cheap. They came in, put a fence up, did some little handyman stuff, and they, listen to this, a realtor lived in the house overseeing all the work, and as soon as it was done, they sold the house to the company, sold the house back to themselves at this really crazy price, you know. So now it's on the mark. Now that's the last price that it went for. So now when you want to buy it, they're like, well, the last house in the neighborhood went for this much. This is the price on it. But, you know, they're just stealing money left and right. But the other part is my taxes goes up, and I'm thinking,
wow,
this ain't right.
You know,
this ain't right.
This is on the level of, like, insider trading illegal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, here's what it's also doing. Here's something else
everywhere.
That's a part of it. Here's something else that's a part of it. All these communities across the country, the governments are taking up what they call affordable housing because the government's getting into the housing industry. So, you know, the government's going to provide us with a way to not get off of the streets. And I'm telling you, I don't know where this is going to end up, but I don't think it's going to be pretty at the end.
No. This reminds me of a debt slave society, because they have just instituted the livable wage for a certain amount of lottery people in Chicago, and they're only getting $500 a month, but they're instituting this program. And they're also doing the buying up the houses and then the cars, your old cars. So they want you to not have a car that cannot be run by computer. You're going to be like, boom, you're not worthy to be driving on the roads, boom, your car won't start. You're not going to be able to live here because you don't qualify for our social credit system. This is being orchestrated from some big, huge, I'm saying probably BlackRock, Vanguard, Pfizer. this is a diabolical thing that's happening all over. And I think before we realize what has happened, it will be here. It will be the monster that we can't fight.
You know
I just noticed
that's really weird is have you guys have they started installing the turnstiles at the grocery stores where, like, it opens up automatically for you, but it's lockable, like you can't push it open? You know what I'm talking about?
You know, I shop at real local little places.
Yeah, like
so
the Kroger's
checkout,
and the
I don't Vons. Shop there anymore.
Yeah, like
so
the Kroger's and the Vons.
Do it, I don't shop there.
Right, so here what they're doing is it opens for you, and you can't push it open, and so it kind of, like, got the idea in my head that is that going to be kind of the same thing as the electric cars where you, if your credit, social credit score isn't high enough, you don't get to buy groceries?
Or VaxPass or the chip that they want to, like, everybody's going to, you know, be chipped because, you know, I can see this happening because how are we are like, oh my God, where's my phone? It's going to be sold just like it's the newest fucking thing. Oh yeah. Then you don't have to lose your phone. You get it right there under your forearm, right? And now, boom, everything's barcoded, boom, boom. Yeah, I could see that happening. This is like the dystopian nightmare that's going to be convenient.
Mom and I have that form.
I'm going to click this in here. If you would, contact her and have her on for an interview and let her tell
love
you everything.
Or, you know, if you want to send her our number and our time that we're on, have her call. It'd be great to have her on. Who's buying up all the farmland? You know, who are these puppet companies? Who is buying up everything?
Other countries. Yeah, that's a great answer.
But we need to put a face to who's doing this and a face to who these people are that are buying the housing market. And this needs to be brought to the attention before it's happening under our noses and we're not even aware of it because we're, you know, worried about Twitter and Speaker of the House and God knows what. But this is happening. I see, yes, yeah, and it's like these signs are everywhere. We'll buy your home for cheap. And I'm like, well, who the fuck would do that? Well, apparently it's happening. And that does make sense to how the housing prices are just, like, insane. It's insane, and nobody's, like, saying, we can't. We can't. How do you expect us to live? And they're like, can you find me a house for under $2,000? I need it by next week.
Here's another trend.
PM,
here's another trend. Here's another trend, and I'll hang up on this one. Here's another
trend.
No,
don't hang up.
Every time we see the economy start dropping and having problems, they start pushing refinance your home. Why? Because you say you got equity, you can get money, you're struggling. So guess what? They're making it so that eventually you cannot leave your home to your family members, to your children, or anybody
right.
that would want them to have it. The bank gets it back, and to them, technically, it doesn't matter how much money. Money is nothing to them. They
right.
got money. They deal in money, but they got your house, and the money is the money that comes from them that you get. That you know, it all comes back
right.
to the bank. And
it's a Ponzi scheme. Don't hang up, though. I want you to talk with us a little bit.
What?
Now, the problem that's going on right now, though, is that the Fed has raised the interest rate to where it's like now it's the worst time and almost impossible to refinance. So it's
mm-hmm.
almost like they're not really thinking through what they're doing.
They're taking people's stuff.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, exactly. You'll own nothing and be happy. Is that what they say?
That's what they're going for, and you're gonna love our plant
yeah.
based bug burgers, yeah, yeah. Good Lord.
I just recently ran over, and y'all keep thinking, even if you've got it wrong, keep thinking and don't stop thinking, because you'll eventually be able to put things together. But I just recently ran across a quote by Mark Twain. He said, it's easier to fool people than to convince them they have been fooled.
That's a great quote.
Yeah.
Yes.
So true. So true. And that's what we have our media, our state-run media. And I really do believe that all of it is state-run for...
Both of them, Republican and Democrat.
To keep us... complacent, you know, they rev us up into this side and rev you into that side, and you're not in motion. You're just paralyzed with fear.
Here's
or
something
anger.
On the media. Here's something on the Republican media most people miss. You remember back in 2008 when Mitt Romney ran? In 2007, he bought Clear Channel. They closed it. They closed the deal in 2008, and right after that, he jumped into the election for president, and not one Republican talk show host would speak bad about Romney. They'll only speak the good part. And then he was running again, and again, he owned Clear Channel. Now he also owns iHeartMedia. But when he got into the race in 2012, they moved talk show hosts around, and there was two. You know their names when I say them. There was Rusty Humphries. He was in the top 20 talk show hosts out of the top 100. And then we had Michael Savage. He's in the top
mm-hmm.
three. He's up there beating Rush on some of his markets. Now, they move here in Florida. If you want to win Florida, 2/3 of the population lives on the I-4 corridor. So in 2012, right before we went into the election, they took Michael Savage and Rusty Humphries off the air. And now
no
Rusty
kidding.
Humphries and neither one, and they're not on the air now. Now, here's the thing. If your dream is to be a talk show host and you're out there and you've made it up to the top 20 or the top three, you, I mean, you're really doing what you love doing, and then somebody decides who we want to get elected, because Michael Savage would talk about Romney and why he's not the right man.
Uh-huh.
He even admitted he had lunch with him, and they discussed stuff. He says, Romney's not the guy for the job. And then Rusty Humphreys, he would never speak against Romney. But if you as a caller had an issue with Romney, he would let you get on and talk to the world, and talk to the nation, rather, and just say your problems with Romney or his policies. So right there, you know, we hear about the Democrats and they're, you know, they're like this government thing. It's the same with the Republicans. We don't have two parties. We have one party that has me and you down here divided.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show, but we were talking about that with the Kevin McCarthy being part of that class of people. For every, you know, Lindsey Graham, there's a Chuck Schumer, and you know, for every McCarthy, there's a Pelosi. They're all on the same team, and this artificial divide.
Well, let me tell you something. There's a Christian channel. They're all across the nation. There's this guy. He's a talk show host. Big. Been doing it for like 50 years, and he's really against the Democrats, and he's always trashing the Democrats. So what I did is I sent him in 2013, Ted Cruz did a 21-hour, 19-minute filibuster to stop Obamacare. The vote was 100-0, and that's 100-0 for it. So what I did, he was doing is, you know, every week, every however many months, every now and then he has to do a talk-a-thon to raise money to have people call in and donate money, right? So what I did is I sent him a letter, an email, with a copy of the 2013 100-0 for Obamacare. I said, if you will go through this list of Republicans and pick out the ones that oppose it, I will give you $500 for every $500 for every Republican that opposed Obamacare. And he loves people like Rubio and Cruz. So the guy that's writing to me, not him, sends me back the 2010 Obamacare vote, and there was only 39 that voted against it, which they didn't have the numbers. And for the title, he typed in 39 times 500 equals with a question mark. I guess I'm supposed to figure out how much money I got to owe. So what I did is I copied the 39 numbers and sent both of them back, and I said, I want you to notice, and I told him again, I'll give you $500 for every no in 2010 that voted yes in 2013 and shut him down. I shut him down. So, because right there, you know, there is no two-party system. All this stuff they're going through up there right now is, I can tell you the history. I've been following this stuff for years. In 2010, when Obama came in and the people were screaming and the Tea Party rose up, I mean, they hit the ground and they were yelling, No more politicians, no more lawyers, and there was citizen candidates all across the country running. Navy SEAL here in Orlando was running for Congress, and then the Republicans, they got their federal, like Tea Party Express, Tea Party Patriots, Tea Party Nation, all these federal Republican consultants put together. I say they federalized the Tea Party movement, and then they got buses going across the country showing up to the Tea Party events, and they showed up, and the message was hold, re-elect the Republicans and hold their feet to the fire. It was only a couple citizens got elected, but all these citizens running for office was out the door, and they got elected. And right now, we've gotten everything that Obama had for America has happened, and the Republicans. You know, I wouldn't vote for the Republicans if my life. I vote for citizen candidates that have a consistent resume. I'll never see my candidates elected, but But I do what I can. But I'll vote my conscience, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not going to vote for the lesser of two evils, because it's actually the Republicans that are lesser of the two, the greater of the two evils, because they're telling us what bears witness with our value system, and they're voting with the Democrats. They're up there playing. It's a show. It's a
yeah.
show, and that's
it's,
why
well,
I really enjoyed that.
The rhinos, yeah, and it is. It's a, yeah. it's a smoke and mirror show. Let me ask you a question before you go. Now, you're in Florida, Orlando, right? And how long have you been
yes.
here?
Since January 19th. I've been here since January of 1977.
Oh, my goodness, cool. Now, what is the climate down there as far as, you know, everybody has flocked to Florida because it's the only free country in the country. What is it like down there?
Well, the traffic is so slow, a bug will hit your windshield and get mad. Because there are cars. There's always been a traffic issue. But right now, I work, and I get off about 3 or 4 in the morning, and I can get home in literally 4 minutes, okay, because I live less than that, because I live 4 miles from where I work. Okay,
nice.
In the daytime going to work, it can take me 30, 40 minutes to get there.
Oh, wow.
It is crazy. There's traffic all over the place.
Yeah, they're making it worse
really
out
over.
Here.
Is it getting to the point where there's no room at the inn anymore? You don't have any more room for the exodus, the great exodus to Florida?
No, there's always houses. There are always, and that's why I was saying about this.
Oh, that's good.
Now, something I'm seeing in my neighborhood, and it's mostly, Hispanics or other nationalities coming from other countries, and they, you know, they're new, not new here like got here last week, but they've been here for a while, and they got family coming over, or they got family here. When COVID hit in 2009 and people were struggling to pay their bills, pay their rent because they couldn't go to work. These families, they like next door, we got this family, I think they're from Colombia, and you got four families living in one house. You know, and you know, they're comfortable with that. On my street, there's only 3 houses that has only one car in the road in the driveway. Most of the house, they have at least 2-3, some, like I said, 8 cars in the yard next door to me, you know, because
yeah, wow.
they can move pull together. But again, we got this thing going on where they'll give you $30,000 for your $300,000 house, and then you move on, and they paint it, mow the grass, and sell it for $500,000, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you know, which means if you ain't got money, you ain't getting a house. You're going to be renting, and
right.
And yeah, it's economy's getting hard. It is strong as far as it's moving in Florida, but it's still hard. You know, it's like if the gas drops, you top your fuel off before it goes up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just saying on Facebook my prediction for like the 2023 like status flex, if you will, is not going to be a Mercedes or a Louis Vuitton. It's going to be a flock of chickens because, you know, the eggs are so expensive. Meat
yeah.
is getting so expensive that the big flex is going to be like, oh yeah, I don't have to go to the store to buy eggs anymore. I can just, you know, make my own. I hope that's the way.
Well, but like in some areas where I live, if you got chickens in the backyard and you're not zoned for it, then they're putting fines on you, you know?
Yeah,
and,
well, and that's, I'm really fortunate that we've got chickens, but we, you know, my great aunt Penny bought a house in Carlsbad, California, back when in the 70s when it was the sketch on the back of a truck before it was even built. And so it's been in our family for, you know, since then, and we don't have a mortgage. It's, you know, just trust property, and it's also, we pay original property taxes, and it's agricultural residential zoned. So it's like, a diamond in the rough. Or, I mean, not that Carlsbad's rough, but it is financially for sure. That they really want to put stipulations on how you can live for sure.
Yeah, and that's,
he still can't
that's
have roosters
almost,
even
all...
though we're agricultural.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for you know, it's like the zoning.
I'm for that because
you can have people move, you know, a little trailer in your backyard and have a bunch of people living there in tents, and you know, and that wouldn't be real healthy or good for anybody. But at the same time, when people are hurting, they're going to do what they can to survive. And I drive around Orlando, Central Florida a lot, and it's nothing to see somebody laying on a park bench, you know, curled up with a blanket. And it's like, you know,
yeah.
Thank you God that I got a home to go to. I don't know their situation. I passed a bus stop about 4 o'clock in the morning last night, and there's a wheelchair and somebody's on the bench, you know, rolled up and it's like, you know, I said, God, I don't know their situation, but be there for them, be there in some way, you know.
I was picking my son up from Chuck E. Cheese yesterday, and we saw a homeless man. They were doing CPR on him on the side of the road. Just right steps away from my son, you know, first job works at Chuck E. Cheese, and just steps away. There's this guy that, and I don't know what it was. My mind always goes to the shot, but, you know, but it's probably a drug overdose. And the, you know, ambulance is just sitting there pumping his chest and, you know, trying to get his, you know, his heart started again. And this is just, you know, steps away from where kids go to play. You know, it's just really, really sad. There's so many homeless here in San Diego. It's just getting ridiculous. Nothing
you know,
like
I'm
LA.
Not, well,
it's
I'm not an
everywhere.
Expert, so
mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert on a lot of this stuff, but I'm just going to make a guess, just out of my own common sense, and not saying that I'm a professional and I got the numbers, but I think we're going to see some hard times, because with all this stuff going on, we got to keep in mind that we got a lot of money. You know, we're borrowing money from China to give it to Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, and we're having we got right now, they're up there spending money. I mean, literally spending money like a drunk Democrat. You know,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of this money is not, it doesn't go to really actually doing something for somebody. And here's, I've noticed something about the American people. American people are really, for the most part, grateful people when it comes right down to it. And back in a few months ago, there was families sending baby strollers to Ukraine, and they said at the train station where they were moving these people, as soon as they got off the train, it was just a whole bunch of baby strollers. Pick a baby stroller, put your baby in, and go. And it's like, man, I hope we don't get down to something that bad, because we haven't had life as hard as they have had it in some ways, that I don't know if we would turn to chaos.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to be negative.
And that's,
I know we still
got good people. I know. And that's the question I've been talking about for a long time, is that what can we do? We all kind of see the writing on the wall and where we're going as a country. And so that's why I've been kind of focusing on planting food all over the streets of San Diego for the last few years. Because when things get really bad, it's like, you know, you can do amazing things with small spaces. And you know, what if we could just take back that one resource, and what kind of spark could we, you know, light in humanity once we realize that we don't have to be reliant on a government for food? What, you know, what is the next thing that we could do? You know, what other resource can we take back to make this transition as soft as possible? Because we know it's coming.
Well, you know, mm-hmm. you can get a 5-gallon bucket, like one of them paint buckets, and plant you some tomatoes in it. That way you can bring them in the house, bring them in the garage at nighttime, so nobody steals them. You can do a little thing here that might produce something that helps you out at another day. And if it doesn't help you out, it can be passed on to somebody less fortunate. You know, here's what I would say is take care of those closest to you first, and then reach out to those on your periphery, but be careful, because when you get people that you know, can't be trusted, or they got chemical dependencies, you know, man, once you let something like that into your little world, man, they'll squander it all.
Yeah.
Well, just take care of those closest.
We're at such a point where we're so broken as a society that if we don't reach out and help these people, we're not going to be okay until everyone's okay. So it's like, you know, you don't pull back and not help people, because we're here to take care of the earth and take care of the animals and take care of each other. And if we stop utilizing our humanity and our empathy, everything's going to go to shit. I understand what you're saying on one level, but if we aren't helping our fellow man, then our entire society is not going to be okay.
Right. I think kind of what he's saying is like the air mask analogy, where, like, you know, when you're on an airplane and they say to, you know, if the oxygen masks fall down, secure your mask first and then help others around you, because, you know, if you don't do yours first, how are you going to be in a position to help others?
Yeah, you're not equipped. Here's what I heard. I heard it said this way: when sudden happens, the only thing you can do is what you've prepared for or are equipped to do. So when sudden happens, if you know something's coming, it's like, listen, if you know it's going to rain, it's smart to have the umbrella by the door, you know. But if you're not prepared for it, you're going to get soaked. And you know, I'm just saying, I see a lot of people. The reason I have to throw that caution in, I've seen a lot of people who try to help someone that can't help themselves, and they end up draining so many others in the process, and so that's when, you know, you got anybody that you're helping out, they got to know that you're helping them and they'll appreciate it. If they don't, then they have no idea the damage they're doing.
That's why, like, you know, the thing that I started with is planting food on the streets. Like, I'm not planning on taking that back in. You know what I mean? Like, I'm planting it in the ground because I want everybody to be able to eat it, you know? And so especially the area that I live in, I just happen to live in a very rare climate where we don't have a frost. I have two tomato forests growing in my backyard. I haven't planted tomatoes in 3 years, and I just went and ate tomatoes off the vine yesterday, you know? And so here in San Diego, we have food growing everywhere. It's everywhere. And you know, if I can help, you know, and there's a lot of homeless people too. So, you know, people are, you know, get a little bit, like, you know, negative and say, well, homeless people are going to destroy the food. I don't think so. I think that if there's a garden growing on the side of the road, they're not going to piss and shit in it. I think they're going to want to maintain it. So is that me helping? Is that me helping them, or is that me helping them help themselves?
Well, if people were thinking more like you, it would put the government's welfare out of, or close to out of business. Because
that's my goal.
It costs probably everything that I would make in all of my life to feed one family for a year, because the government's doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is thinking big, everything's bureaucracy, got bills and buildings to pay for and company cars, and some guy gets a little check and some food stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the government's not teaching anyone how to fish. They need to teach people how to fish and take care
of themselves. Right, exactly. And I love that you said, Nathan, it's Nathan, right?
Yes.
I love that you were talking about how you only vote for independent or outside of the establishment candidates. I ran for Congress in 2018 and then governor of California in 2020. So literally my platform that, you know, like that we don't turn away from the system.
Here's how I did this thing. I'm like a low-tech redneck. I got my first computer in 2004. My neighbor and my sister are giving me ideas and showing me how to do stuff. I was a little slow at it, But one of the things I did, I served in the military in the U.S. Army under Reagan, Daddy Bush, and Clinton. Okay, and I followed the Republicans real strong, because I thought they were the ones that we need for the military. And when I got my computer, I went back, starting at the Great Depression, but I really didn't start striking oil until after the Great Depression and following the Republicans. And it's like, you know, it's the same thing over and over and over. They're playing, it's like a show, we're watching a show. And everybody's got a role to play, but nothing really ever gets done as far as something heading in a direction. And whenever I came all the way up to the 2004, looking through the record, and I realized the Republicans are not who they say they are. And I'll give you a good example. You know, if you're pro-life, you're Republican. If you're pro-abortion, you're a Democrat. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. Abortion was Daddy Bush in 1969 wrote a bill, Title X, that the federal government's going to fund Planned Parenthood. That's in 69. In 70, they voted it. 32 congressmen opposed it in the Senate. It was 100-0, and it passed. And then 3 years later, when Roe v. Wade came along, 7 of the 9 judges were Republican appointed judges. Mm. And then it's like them Democrats, oh my God, them Democrats. And then in 2016, when the baby body parts for sale with Planned Parenthood broke, mm-hmm. you got a handful of Republicans up there saying, that's it. We need to defund Planned Parenthood. No, you have to fund it. It's a law. It's like the stop sign. You got to fund it. You got to do it. So they're screaming. And guess what? A handful of these Republicans that are up for election in 16, they were, listen to this, a present not voting, not no, but it gave them, we're seeing their conviction. We feel good, but it gives them, it manages it so that they get to keep funding Planned Parenthood,
and so it's
a show, and that's why when I see this thing with McCarthy, it's the same thing. It's a show. I'm down here, saying, wow, them Republicans are the same thing in '94, the '94 contract with America. They got 8 promises. This was the first promise. We will pass a law that Congress has to live by the same laws the rest of the country does. Wait a minute. Where did they ever get the idea that they don't have to answer to the Constitution, the law, and the people? They already got the idea. But you know what? They didn't have. They had more R's than D's, and they couldn't come up with enough numbers to pass it because they really believe they're above the law. And I challenge people, go back. There was 8 promises and 10 bills. I tell people, go find out how many that passed, you know. And so I don't fall for that. Whenever I hear people saying, you got to vote. If you don't vote Republican, then, you know, the Democrats win. It's on your back. I said, no, it's a show. It's a show, and I'm sitting here watching it, and I'm not going to be a part of it. But it's the same thing. But in the 94, listen to this, 94, the Republicans won more R's than D's for the first time since, I think it was 1938. They won in 94. 96, they lost numbers. 96, they bled more numbers. We came down to the 98 and then the 2000 razor-thin presidential election. And then we kept going. And same thing all over. Same thing all over again. And then in 2000, W. Bush, in 2004, during the election, a reporter asked him on the gay thing, what do you think about gay marriage? He goes, I believe personally, you know, marriage is between one man and one woman. He goes, but I wouldn't have a problem with a marriage amendment in the Constitution. Well, guess what? That woke the Republicans up. They showed up, and he won big. And then somebody asked him afterwards about a marriage amendment. He goes, well, that's not the U.S. Constitution's role. But if the citizens want to put marriage amendments in the states, you know, I'm all for that. Well, they ran across the states putting down marriage amendments, and guess what? It was a George W. Bush judge, appointed judge, that sent the gay marriage case to the Supreme Court. And in 2016, when they said gay marriage is the rule of the land, okay, it's the law of the land, Ted Cruz, running for president, says, that's why you need to vote for me, because I'll appoint strict constructionist judges. You know what? I sit there and going, they're all liars. They're all liars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've
supported a regular citizen candidate that's got a consistent resume. I made it into a book in 2010 because of that. The guy starts out his acknowledgments. He thanked his dad, and then he thanked me. And what I did is I got out there. All I did was I got out there and I wrote talk show hosts all across the country, and I asked him, would you consider having this guy on for an interview? And he got a bunch of interviews, but he was a nobody. He didn't have the party behind him, so he didn't get elected. But he got a bill passed, and it's never been enforced, but they say it's the strongest anti-bullying legislative law across all the country. There's nothing more tougher, but they've never applied it. If you ever get a chance, type in Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot.
What was this guy's name?
Babe. Can you put that in?
Put that in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember his name?
Are y'all still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was
simultaneously
cooking dinner.
Oh, okay,
I'm wondering,
okay.
Do you remember his name, the politician's name that passed that?
Yeah, his name was Bobby Bean. No, he wasn't elected. His name's Bobby Bean. He spells it, his dad spelled it like a girl, B-O-B-B-I-E,
uh-huh.
Bean. And if you type in, you can go and read his book online free, because he's giving them away. He doesn't want to make money. He just wants people to read it. But if you go to a site called DirtyBlueLine.com, his site comes up and his book is on there for free. He misspelled my name in the acknowledgments. My last name, Huckabee, has a Y, and he put two E's like the governor. But what his situation was is his son got beat up really, really bad at school and by this muscle builder guy, and it ends up that the kid that destroyed his family, his dad was a detective on the local police department, and whenever he started pushing for this guy needs to get more than just suspended for a week, then they surrounded, he's a farmer, they surrounded his farm, and they what they did, here's what happened, somebody cut the fence, and a cow got mm-hmm. out, and the sheriff caught him up, and he went and got the cow back in, mended the fence, and that next night SWAT team surrounded his house, arrested him for that. It was a law before cars existed that if your livestock gets out of your pen, it can be a fine up to an imprisonment, and they were pushing prison on this guy, and he doesn't know who cut his fence. But if you ever go to YouTube, type in Carolyn Strong Bobby Bean interview. You'll see everything that's in the book on that. And if you ever want, I can get you an interview with him if you were interested.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the
Absolutely.
Website now.
Okay, good,
Absolutely.
Good.
Now, when was this? What year was this? Was this around the same time Matthew, the kid from Wyoming, was killed?
I'm not really sure. I don't follow that.
Matthew Shepard. Matthew Shepard.
Yeah, Matthew Shepard.
I don't know.
I don't know the years, but when I ran into this guy, how I ran into him, because I got on the site, at the election site, state site, Division of Elections, and I went through and I was finding all the independents independents and just regular citizens. And I would call and ask them questions about their race. And when I called this guy and I was asking him questions on different subjects, he had no idea what was going on. And I asked him, why are you running? And then he told me his story there. If you listen to that Carolyn Strong, Mike Bobby Bean interview, you'll really get, you'll see this guy's, it just totally, the name of his book is Shattered Dreams, Broken Patriot. But anyway, he didn't know anything. And so what I did is I said, listen, I'm going to do something. I'm going to send you a copy of the bill of, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to send it to you on a CD. And I said, after you've listened to it, don't read it, but I want you to listen to it 50 times. Write down 4 marks, slash it through. When it's 5, go to the next. When you got 50 times listening to it, I want to talk to you. He calls me up and he goes, I just finished listening to it, to the Constitution, 51 times. I said, okay, and we started talking. And you know what? This guy will blow your mind when you start talking Constitution. He'll like, no, that's not in the Constitution. It's funny. But if you go on and just type his name, Bobby Bean, you can see him back. There's some videos out there. Well, I don't know what time you're going to close, but if you don't mind, I'll put a video in, a YouTube video.
Well, that'd be cool.
Of him. Yeah, and I'm going to – the first one, listen, I'm going to send you – I call it 7 minutes or something like that, 7 minutes that will break your heart. He's addressing the school board and telling them about his experience. And whenever I seen that, I just titled it 7 minutes that will break your heart. You know, if you got children, you know.
Yeah.
We've got 25 more minutes, so you're all good.
Okay, well, I'm going to hang up so I'm not disturbing y'all, and I'll drop a couple things in your thing. And
okay.
Hang on to them, go look at them, and if you are interested, I don't know how I – you got my phone number there, right?
Yes.
Actually,
right.
Do. Okay, good.
Yeah, phone down off the caller ID, and whenever you ever get interested – and this is also my cell phone, so you can text me. If you get you're interested, give me a call, and I can put y'all together.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And you're
that.
Definitely not
Absolutely.
Bothering us. We really appreciate your call. That's, you know, you've been a
yeah.
great guest.
I didn't
want to
get
y'all.
I know I probably got you off. I know I probably got you
no.
off your target.
No, we
this
had
is,
an extra hour because my so mom does the good news report from 4 to 5 every week, but she is sick this week, so we had extra time. It was a great time to call.
Good.
Do a free flow conversation. So this is you're adding wealth to the show. Don't run away.
Call back anytime.
Done.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I'm gonna be still listening, but I'm gonna drop this stuff in for you. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, sounds good.
Oh, you're welcome, baby. God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What a cute guy. I like him.
Yeah, I wonder I wonder if we're friends on Facebook. Probably not. We should be, though. Danielle St. John. Yeah, so that was awesome.
Absolutely. That's
Ty was trying
how,
to call in earlier, but his phone's not working.
Oh, my God. How did... I was hoping he'd come on. I miss him so much. I'm so glad he was thinking about coming on. I miss that guy.
I'm going to ask him to try again.
Are you within earshot, baby darling?
Yeah, well, I'm also texting him in case he's not listening.
A grand entrance. I just want to hear his voice. My goodness.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
It's time to come out of hibernation.
Yeah.
Enough.
I really want to get him out here. I was so worried about him during that big snowstorm, but I'm trying to get him out to San Diego.
Justice, oh, that'd be great. Justice Kunzun. Mm-hmm. Who are these people? My God, let me see what else new is going on. I had written down a couple of little things. There's a new video that I saw last night that was talking about a documentary that they're doing down at the border. This woman has been running with the ICE, and they have found the longest tunnel that they've ever found coming under the border that goes through Uma, Arizona, under the wall, through a town, and hangs a left, and then goes into the town, and it goes directly under a house into someone's garage. Did you see that?
I'm willing to bet that we've got longer tunnels in California. We had some air-conditioned tunnels coming under our border, like with lights and, and surround sound and all of that.
That's what this has got, the fiber optics. It's got all kinds of stuff, and it just sent chills down my spine. My immediate thought was, this is how we're trafficking our children.
Missing
children.
And have been for a long time.
They're more concerned with the running of weapons and arms from Iran, of all places. But
thanks, Obama, for that, for Operation, you know, like we know that, you know, the Operation Fast and Furious, remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, nobody ever got in trouble for that, even though Border Patrol agents died.
Well, that goes way back to, you know, the Iran-Contra debacle with the CIA's running guns in and out and the drugs and, good Lord.
Guns, drugs, people.
We're being attacked from within with all of that. But, oh, my gosh, if anything, watch your children. Keep them at arm's length because that was just the most horrifying thing.
And there's tunnels under every city, you know. Like, they don't have to travel, you know, out in the open.
Yeah.
They've got their underground channels, you know. Also, the government has, I don't know if you ever followed George Webb, but he talked about the shipping containers, right? So the automatic, you know, shipping containers, if they're so you put them, if you want to really do this and have the government and use government channels to do it, you can do send to automated ports the shipping containers, put a diplomatic label on it, and they can't be searched. You can put whatever you want in there, and they can't be searched.
And all the subterranean highway that is under our country is horrifying. I remember hearing about there's a tunnel that comes in from, I want to say, Catalina Island off of there, the coast of California there. There's like a ledge, and it's an underwater tunnel that they've lost. Not one, but two nuclear submarines have disappeared. Through this tunnel, and they have yet to have found them, which is like, what? What?
Well, I've been to Catalina quite a few times. I don't know. It's a very, it's a tall kind of mountain island.
But off the coast of California in that area.
I got engaged on my way there.
And they have government tunnels that go, you know, through their little subterranean mecca of their wonderland that they're going to live in when everything goes to hell, everything's underground. But that just made me think of, you know, Agartha and all kinds of things. I'm like, what in the world? Yeah, we're just like these little ants, you know, doing nothing, and underneath is where all the stuff is.
I've never heard this one. I'm going to have to go down a rabbit hole on this one. I'm going to have to do some research.
That was a YouTube rabbit hole kind of video. But yet, apparently, it is a real thing that the government has lost not one but two nuclear submarines and still have not accounted for them. Ukraine has eaten my dog.
Craziness. I don't know. We know this, right? It's one of those things that everybody knows. There's tunnels under every major city. When I was in Nashville, I noticed that a lot, where there was, I guess the foundations seemed to be way more hilly than they needed to be. And and I was like, yeah, there's, I'm sure there's tunnels, and I'm sure there's tunnels everywhere under Nashville.
They've done road work here. And I drive, you know, I'm kind of up because I'm up in a big vehicle. And to look down, I was like, oh, dear God, there's nothing down there. There's it's like a Costco kind of thing. I'm like, there's, it's a warehouse. There's a warehouse under the street. And that made me just immediately think of all of these videos I've seen of the underground tunneling that they've done and this subterranean, you know, super railroad that they're supposed to have and all kinds of shit. And I'm like, what the hell is under our city that they – it freaked me out when I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
under, isn't it under Denver?
Talk about FOIA requests. Why can't we find out what's under our structures? You know,
we can't even get we can't even get Seth Rich's laptop. You really think they're going to tell us what's under our cities?
It's insane. You know, here's another news story that happened this week. In my little area of the suburbs of Chicago, our water has a high level of lead. And this is the news story, was for the second time, in I guess they test them like every few months, the water quality is tested. And we have excessively high levels of lead. And I thought, well, of course we do, because that's how you dumb down the population. And I think I've spoke before of the low IQ levels of our children in our district is just horrifying. Our special ed department has gone from, it just mushroomed, because they can classify a child's special ed if their IQ is 50 and below, and there's a mushroom cloud of children. I'm like, oh, my God. What? They're like functioning illiterate. It's not illiterate. It's like their IQ is at a 50. It's like that explains so very much. I'm like, why?
And fluoride. Well, do you have fluoride in your water?
Well, everyone has fluoride. You know, fluoride's good for you, for God's sakes. But the lead, I'm kidding, but the lead, and here's the story, it's attributed to the fact that the town is very old pipes, old lead pipes, and the town tested its water source and found nothing wrong with it. It's attributed to these old houses. Well, a week later, again, and I'm like, is there no new news at all? No. It's the same old story, but they had to, like, reamend the story, because now it has been – they haven't been able to poo-poo it and say it's just because of the old infrastructure of the town. It's been found in the water source of the town, which is like, oh, you're busted. Not alone are you're putting fluoride in the water and barium and chromium and aluminum and whatnot, but lead. And it was kind of like – it kind of fell on deaf ears, and I'm like, oh, this is big, but they're kind of – playing it off. Well, the people in this town are going nuts on this little site, you know, what's happening in the town. And they're all pawning this off to, everyone's taking pictures of their pipes and saying, hey, it's going to turn into this huge lawsuit, as it should, but it should balloon into this big, who's adding things to our water supply? And what's the motivation behind it? Is it correlating with the fact that they're also spraying shit in our sky and they're putting things in our water? And this is like low, small little news stories that they're not like catching on and doing an expose on, but the people that live in the town are like getting a little curious and a little mad, but they're all pawning it off on their landlords. And I'm like, no, don't wait for your landlord to fix a problem. This is a huge, huge, this is like a Flint, Michigan kind of thing, what's popping up here. But of course, it was the top story a few days ago and then last week, but now it's nothing, because there's other earth-shattering things like the NFL player and whatnot to go on. But yeah, that's, I don't know. And you know, in a world where, okay, let's get the – if you're going to get upset over, you know, a cop killing this person, and burn the town down. How about you get upset over your government putting chemicals in the water to damage your children and to keep your IQ level down, and no one doing anything about it? They should be handing out water filters. I don't even know if the, does a water filter get rid of lead? Because out here I'm like, am I distilling lead? Am I making the lead level higher in my distiller? These are things I'm like wondering about.
No, I think the British get out lead. I think British get out lead. Like, I don't even give my dog tap water. Like, I'll put it through a Brita before I give it to my dog. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. We all do the water distiller here. But, you know, they should be, like, sending, you know, skids of water, bottled water to everyone to bypass this huge lawsuit that there should be. I don't know. It's crazy. And I don't know, is it the fact that the lead's working that we're not upset, or the fluoride's working? See, all these things go on, and we're just like, nobody really cares. And interesting enough, when I was watching this documentary on the Roosevelts, and the accounts of when America started getting the stories of what was happening to the Jews and the Night of the Crystal, Night of the Long Knives, when they went in and they just burnt down all the synagogues and destroyed the businesses and rounded them all up and then made them pay for the damages. This is all in the newspaper. Here's Eleanor Roosevelt talking about how she's reading about this in the newspaper. She's on the train and she just cannot believe what she's watching and reading. And then she looked up on the train and everyone else was reading the same paper she was, but nobody was upset. And this was the thoughts that she was having. And I just thought, God, nothing's changed. People are not upset now at what goes on. And back then, they weren't upset either. And I'm like, what is wrong with people? And that's what she was thinking. She's like, what is wrong with my fellow man that they're not upset over these things, of what they see? And I'm thinking to myself, are we that? Have we always been that so self-consumed that if it doesn't affect me, it's not important?
I think it's gotten worse. I think it's gotten worse. I mean, it was definitely a gradual thing, like a quiet weapons for silent wars kind of situation, where they built up this level of compliance over a long period of time, and they actually have done a very good job of getting the general population to go along with it. You know, it's one of those things, like those Sun Tzu Art of War moments, where it's like you have to know your enemy. You know, and you have to have a respect for your enemy. I'm not saying to respect your enemy, but in the general sense. But you know, it's like the same way I respect the ocean, right? That I just know that it's a force that, you know, that needs my attention needs to be drawn to it because they're winning for a reason. The other side has, you know, painstakingly gotten to know us, simultaneously getting us to not know ourselves at all. We need to learn from them so that it never happens again. We need to learn how they did that, to us.
But it seems like we are our own worst enemy because nobody cares. That the apathy is just
right. What
is crippling, you know?
Yes.
And it isn't like – and it was like that in the 1930s. People didn't care that these things were going on. And I found that very interesting and disturbing on a big level, that I'm like, what happened? At what point in time did we stop caring about what happened to someone else, your neighbor down the road? Because it used to be, you know, people would get together and there'd be barn raisings. You know, if your neighbor's barn burned down, the whole community would get together and they'd build another barn for you. Way back when. Where do
we
go
from
there?
Yeah, I think we do that now. There's GoFundMe.
Maybe on a certain level. Maybe you're right. Yeah, on a certain level there is it. But you can't get people upset over them spraying shit in your sky. Or even the politicians. Talk about you can pick a good politician and there are none of them. When you get a reporter that goes and asks them about the chemtrails program and they all act like, you know,
you're trying to sell them, you know, Jehovah's Witness tickets or something. They won't talk to you. They all refuse to acknowledge the simple problems or the water in the Flint. They just don't want to talk about these things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, and people are kept so busy that they can't really even pay attention to it. And, you know, they don't. A lot of people at the end of the day only have enough energy to watch mindless things like the royal weddings and, you know, sitcoms and football and those kind of things that aren't.
Oh, speaking of, now here's a friend of mine who, you know, rarely gets upset over anything. She's all bent out of shape over what Prince Harry just said. And I'm like, oh my God. She feels like Harry has just put the entire royal family at harm's way with his little interview about what he did in the war. And I'm like, oh my God, you're killing me with this.
I didn't even watch. I don't know.
I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have known had she not had this big long diatribe post on this. And I'm like, oh my God. Yes, now the country and everyone's in dire straits because the Taliban is pissed off.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, my God. I had to just say, I gotta step away from the Facebook because this is crazy. But if that is what they're putting out there to distract us from the real things, good Lord, do we not get what we deserve, apparently. On that one.
Yeah, that's true. We do, like I said, we have to understand how they did this and make sure that it doesn't happen again in the future. So that's really the end, you know, the beginning and the end of it. And so honestly, like when society starts breaking down and we can focus more on things like chickens and, you know, like that's going to be when we start to, you know, improve on a human level, like that's when we're going to start. But when we can't afford nursing homes anymore and we can't afford preschools anymore and, you know, grandma and, you know, the elders and, you know, children come back together and learn from each other, you know, that's such a huge connection that we've severed, you know, the connection between the young and the old. That's something that so honestly, like, people think of it as like a catastrophic thing that's happening, where that the economy might be crumbling. But on the other hand, I think the sooner that the government, I'm not saying in a violent way at all, I'm talking about in a complete withdrawal of consent from government, we stop consenting to government rule, you know, the sooner we can start getting things right again. I think the government is the thing that's holding us back, and the sooner we figure that out, that we're in charge of the biggest killing machine in the history of mankind, and our elections that are rigged anyway. As soon as we can start walking away from that system, the better chance that we all have of survival. Because going down this path, there are going to be a lot of people that don't make it. I'm not saying that in a hostile way either, but, you know, either from, you know, not having shelter or not having food, I think that's coming, and I think it's coming soon, judging from the cost of things in the grocery store.
Well, my one thought on this whole prayers for the football player.
Mm-hmm.
The more I'm looking at this, I'm like, you know what? This could be
good timing.
A turning
we just hit 90
moment.
Seconds.
It could
Go
be
ahead.
A turning moment in our society that if this many people are getting together to pray, I think that's a good thing, because that's exactly what we need, is prayers
and
community and compassion. And I think that's what's going to get us through this, personally.
I agree.
And my clock is 58. Well, I was so glad that I felt good enough to get on and talk, and I hope your mom feels better. She needs a rest, because I was sick for 3 weeks, and it was this virus is no fun. And
no.
Rest in whatever form of antibiotic you can get, garlic, ginger, frankincense, oregano. That's what I've been.
I've got a really awesome herbal tea that I've got going on right now. So
There you go. Yeah, I did the Mullen.
Even a really good chamomile. I think people undervalue like
benefits
of that.
And elderberry. Mm-hmm. And this rest and vaporizing your lungs.
Vitamin C.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
And we're not doctors, so we're not really giving you medical advice, but that's, you know, anyway.
No, we're Italian grandmas, and we're telling you what to do.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please share this if you can. Call back anytime, Nathan, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Take care, babe. Love you. Bye-bye.
And we're clear.